こんにちは。
こんにちは。
今日は特別編ということでゲストが来てくれています。文字起こしのテキストも同時にリリースしているし、宿題も同時に出していると思うのでぜひ試してみてください。ニックです。イエイ。
Hey, what's up everybody? Hello.
Time bomb.
Yeah, time bomb.
Time bomb のニックって言った方がよかった。
最近でもタイムボムあんま言ってないですね。
言ってない。
実は。Oh, はい。そっか。 Yeah, 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 but I mean, I'm still time bomb Nick. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're low key time bomb now.
Yeah, I'm low key time bomb. Yeah, yeah.
Why the low key with the time bomb?
Because there's just so much internet articles. It's like annoying if I mention that, then like people start like asking questions and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we don't do time bomb anymore, by the way.
あ、そうなんだ。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we haven't disbanded or anything, but we just don't. Oh, yeah. Is it okay to speak in mostly English?
どっちでもいいよ。
Okay, okay. Yeah.
So,でも肩書きとしては芸人、
うん、芸人と、うん、and I'm also、teaching English。
あ、そうなんだ。
Yeah, yeah, I'm a teacher at 東進。 Do you know 東進 High School?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, 講師か。
You do music too, right?
Yes, I do music. Recently, I've restarted doing music. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We could talk about that.
あのね、多分子供いる人はみんな見たことあると思うんだけどね。 あ、本当に？ あの、私もよく英語で遊ぼう、
イーテレの。 あ、そうそうね。
見てると、うん、ニックが出てきて、あ、ニックじゃんって思って。
あ、そうそう。最近、今年は元出てるの。
あ、そうなんだ。
うん、
そ
う
か。
そうそうそう。
だから多分ね、うちの子供も見たら、あれなんか見たことあるってなると思う。
So, you have a few different hats that you
I do.
Is that all your hats or do you have more hats?
I have two hats. You mean the ones that like bend up?
No, 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 no. Hats as in like occupation.
Job. Right.
It's an expression.
No, I thought it's supposed to be faces. Is it hats? No.
Yeah, hats. I do no, people. So if you're a chef, you have the tall hat, right?
No, no, okay, okay, okay. Just a little 恥ずかしいよ.
That's all right.
Fine, I
most definitely won't cut that out. But
yeah, yeah. So I do. I also am a graduate student at Jochi. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Just so everybody knows, we weren't doki. I think I was 1 year above you. No.
全然わかんない。あのね、でもマイケル。わ、私の1個下なんだよね。
あ、じゃあ、僕の2個下かな。
あ、そうなんだ。
Yeah.
あのね、私なんでニックのこと知ってるか覚えてないんだよね、実は。
いや、上智、上智。
Yeah, I know that, but like, and I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I interviewed you.
Yeah, I remember you interviewed me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we were in the same sociology class at 上智。
Right.そっか。
That Fair ended up taking Professor Fair halfway through the semester. Do you not remember that? There's like a big scandal or something like
that? I do, I do, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, one professor got kicked out.
It was the day of the midterm, too.
Oh, yeah, and there were like guards
standing
at the door.
Yeah, guards took him out, yeah, yeah.
Are you going to say, I don't remember
what? I don't remember his name.
I don't, well, I wouldn't say his name, because it was like, なんか、そのセクハラ疑惑、セクハラじゃないけどなんか TA に手を出した疑惑みたいな感じで、なんか急にキックアウトされて、だからテームの途中でね先生が変わっちゃったんだよね。
でもさ、そのミッドタームだからさ、もうめっちゃ喜ぶじゃん、やんなくて。Yeah, yeah, we were so
some people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we were so happy.
Especially Nick.
Yeah, yeah, I was really happy.
So, でなんかあの qualitative research method っていうクラスを取ってて、そこであの国際カップル、のなんかペーパーをやったんだよね。それで私はニックにまあインタビューして、その時なんかもうすごいチャラい、
そう、
すごいチャラい
旅だった。I have a similar impression if I'm being
really?
honest. I think I've only talked to you a few times, hung out with you with Matt.
Yeah, yeah,
times,
I'm really good friends with Matt. We're both from the same area of America.
Oh, really?
San Francisco.
Ah, そっか。
Yeah, yeah.
Really? I remember you had a very ギャルっぽい。
うそ。そんなことないわ。ギャルっぽい。わかんない。Maybe
I had like すごいチャラかったんだよ。その時。
うそ。
うん。だからなんか
多分頑張ってたんじゃない。わかんない。
そうだから今になってなんか子供もいるし、
yeah,
あの、
yeah.
お何 E テレ出てるし、全然なんかイメージが違う。
うそ。あ、でも今でも変わらないかもしれないですね。わかんない。Maybe I'm still チャラい。
So
yeah, yeah.
like.芸人になったのはいつ？
So I graduated Sophia in two. Well, I was 交換留学生 in 2007 to 2008. Graduated, came back to Japan. I don't know if that makes sense, but and then I went to Japanese school, which was really amazing because my Japanese got really good. I went for 2 years, and then or maybe a year and a half, and then I couldn't get a visa, So I heard if you join an Ora Yosejo, you can, anybody can get a visa because it's not like a prestigious, you know.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
So you were chasing a visa.
Yeah, I was chasing a visa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I joined up and I did not plan on doing anything seriously at all.
Mm.
But I think while we were still students, there was a thing on NHK called Shinjin Heike Taisho. It was like a manzai competition.
Mm.
And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but we got to the finals and then just got tons of offers from companies. And then I started doing Ora again. And this is my 9th year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
でも計画してたわけじゃなくて。
全然。
そっか。
そうそう。
知らない。知らないだではないけども。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
How do you like it being a comedian?
I don't.
Do you feel like a comedian?
No. No way.
Do you,
no.
Think, you well, think of yourself as funny or like...
I'd say I'm not naturally funny at all. I think there's...
Well, that's pretty funny.
But yeah, yeah. There's two types of comedians and most are not naturally funny. And comedy is something that you can really practice and get good at, unlike music, which you kind of have to be gifted with, like, being able to sing or, like, write.
Mm.
I think, obviously, there's comedians who are naturally just really funny.
Mm.
But me and my partners are not. Yeah, yeah.
え、なんかそのさ、日本のやっぱり芸能界とか、その芸人の世界って、まあ、すごい特殊じゃない？
そう。
だからそこにこうニックが飛び込んでいってどういう感じ？
まあその今芸人をやって9年経ってんだけど、最初20代、23歳とか4歳の時、I was like pretty, well this isn't my world, I'm not Japanese,、I'm full American by the way, and the 先輩後輩the 上下関係 is insane. And the abuse of senpai kohai is insane too.
Like how?
Like for instance, I won't name any names, but like at nomikai, a senpai will come up behind the kohai and like light their hair on fire or stuff like that.
Jesus.
Or like just and a lot of like if you're a chick comedian, you have to deal with like a lot of stuff.
So it's kind of like a bukatsu or like a fraternity or something like that.
Yeah, I mean it's the closest thing to the, they say it's the closest thing to the mafia in Japan, like the closest. Like, how can I say it?
You know, organization.
Yeah, yeah, organization. Like, the way it works is really similar.
The mafia or, like...
The Japanese yakuza. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
So, and the first... And the way... Just, we could... I could go on about this. I mean, we can talk about it in depth if you want to. But first off, yeah, the joge kanke is really obnoxious. I mean, there's really beautiful things about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to get an ego... In the Japanese entertainment industry, you don't have to be good. You just have to be there for a long time. You know what I mean? So there's guys who've been doing it for like 25 years who are just, they suck. But you have to like pickle to them.
Right.
Yeah. And then the good thing about Joge Kange is senpai pay for you if you can't pay for stuff. That you know, they completely take care of it. Unlike, you know, with American comedians, the guy who made it first pays for everybody.
Yeah. Well, these... I think some of this exists in Japanese organizations broadly.
Yeah.
Like in Japanese companies. You would say it's seems more severe in the...
Well, the it's such less of a life... of a life tool. You know, like when another organization, you can probably get through your life just working there, but not as a comedian. You really need to rely on people above you because a lot of it is connections and stuff. So...
how are your...
Mine are really good.
Yeah.
Good. I think it's because I'm a foreigner, obviously. But I mean, do you know Ike? You know Ike? Yeah. Like his are even better. He's really close to tons of. But I've gotten to the point. So now I'm 33, where I just don't follow any of the rules for of the game. I'm just so tired of it, and I'm at the point to where they don't say anything to me anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like for instance, I'll just give you. This is going to be like a therapy session for me because I'm going to be complaining about all the stupid things with the game. Okay.
Great.
So with Orai shows, I don't know if listeners know, but with like, you know, popular manzai or popular konto, it's usually 3 to 5 minutes a bit.
Mm.
It's like an open mic. But the difference between like, say, America and Japan is the Japanese agencies have their own shows. You don't really have agencies like Yoshimoto in the States.
Right.
Mm. You have like a manager managing you and then an agent getting you shows.
But everyone has their own manager kind of thing.
Yes. But everything is all within the company.
Mm.
So we'll go to shows and, you know, Tokyo's cramped, right? So yeah. The gakuya, or the green rooms, I guess, in English, are just too many people. So what they'll have you do is they say, come to the gakuya, come to the hako. And we go there, and you have to say, ohayou gozaimasu, and they say, okay, now leave for 2 hours and come back.
Wow.
It's like, well, couldn't we just say that online or something yeah. like that? And yeah. like, it's stuff like that. That and I've said it to my, because I don't care if people get mad at me at all.
Yeah.
I'm,
like, what actually happens if you don't go?
Nothing. That's why it's amazing. Nothing happens. So I do whatever I want, and then nothing bad is happening.
These invisible force fields that you have to believe in.
Yes.
To be stopped.
But that's, if Nick was Japanese,
I don't know. I
would say
it's different. Yeah, but maybe if you don't follow the rules, you can go with it.
But you're not getting the Gaijin pass or the...
I probably am, but I... Have you guys read Kakume no Fanfare? The book by Nishino-san?
No.
It's really interesting, and if... there's some English... speakers who are learning Japanese listening to this, a book like that, Kakume no Fanfare, you can read that in Japanese, I bet, and it'll be really good because it's not too difficult. But he basically, works in Yoshimoto and decided, I don't want to become like a sponsor's dog. You know, I don't, that sounds weird because I translated it from Japanese. So I'm just going to do everything myself. And he wrote a children's book. Did you know that?
Yeah.
A really famous children's book. Yeah. And he had all these ideas to get publicity. Like, he'd leave... like a rough draft of the book somewhere where it would get stolen, and then that would be in the news, and he would get publicity from that, so he didn't have to go through sponsors.
Genius.
Yeah, he's really smart. And he's basically saying in the book that people in the Gainokai have like just devalued themselves completely, especially comedians. And I really feel like, you know, there's just no dignity for yourself. Yeah.
Do you see a lot of people trying to change that, or?
No. No, okay. No, not at all.
Okay.
I do what is necessary for me to do, and then I do whatever I want to do free. Like, I think most companies wouldn't let somebody be a teacher at Toshin High School.
Yeah.
But I called and I said, I'm going to do this, and if you don't want me to do it, then I'll maybe have to leave. And they said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've heard similar things about... from girls that are in modeling agencies, for example, just like the craziest stories about the companies and their management.
Oh, I'm sure it's worse.
I've heard that there's like gangs involved sometimes in this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, there's real gangs involved in some of these companies, you know, not in my company, thankfully. Yeah. But I mean, you know, for instance, idols, like with me, I get paid for how much I work, right? But a lot of these models and idols, they don't get that. They get like a monthly stipend. Is that the right word, I guess?
サラリーマンみたい。
But that doesn't like, you know, decide how much you work. So they may be working every day of the month and they're still getting 20万. Another thing that's really interesting is when you think of like manager or agent for like, say, Jim Carrey, you're thinking like, you know, this dude probably has $20 million or something like that.
Yeah.
But managers in Japan make like as much or maybe less than a salaryman. So from my perspective, just from like an American capitalist perspective, the motivation to get work is, I don't see how you could be motivated to get people. I mean, I guess they do it, and the hours are insane. I think being a manager, you have to be insanely masochistic.
Right. Yeah. So
there's no manager or agent that's a millionaire.
Like, where's all the money going then?
So this is, I can tell you another interesting thing. I'm not going to mention my company, and you guys can probably look it up yourselves. And anything I say incriminating will be in English. I'm not going to say it in Japanese.
And not about your company.
Yeah, not about my. So this isn't about my company. Wink, wink. So the thing about the Gainokai, and this drives me nuts, is that you never know when your pay is going to come in. So you do a job and you get the money 3 months to 6 months, maybe sometimes a year. So if you see like comedians, like, you know, Pekopa, they're my company.
Yeah, yeah.
They're huge. You'd think they'd be making tons of money, but they, like Sugi-chan, he was basically homeless for the first like 6 months because none of the money for the jobs come in.
Oh my God.
I've gotten jobs. Last year, I got money from something. I don't even know if I should say that. I'm going to say it anyway. Screw it. I got money from something I did in 2016.
What?
And I was so angry about it when I got it. And none of the Japanese comedians cared. They were just happy they got it. And it's funny because my wife used to be a manager. And she was like, well, you should be happy that you got it. But I'm thinking like...
Is it adjusted at all?
No. There's no interest. I wanted to ask. But,
like, how does it work? I mean, administration-wise, like, why is it so late?
Technically, they borrowed money from you for...
Yeah. So you have this exactly right. So how it works is, and I've heard this from somebody in the biggest Japanese comedy company. You guys will know the name. I'm not going to say the name. But what happens is it's basically like owing money to a bunch of bookies. So when my money comes in, it's not really from me. It's from somebody else. And if you trace the money, the money will be from somebody else. So you're never getting your own money. Apparently. I don't know if that's true.
That's weird.
Did you know that?
Well, from an accounting standpoint, you're lending the company money.
Yes.
Yeah. And that may be in your contract somewhere that you need to do that.
Yeah.
And so that gives the company control of the cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they're going to do with it rather than having it in your control.
I just think it's strange because the guy I know was tracing all this money from each comedian and it was just completely different jobs from other people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
なんか前にね、あの、レイナが来てくれて。
Yeah, yeah, this is a couple, this is like a year or two ago, right? When she was kind of on TV.
A while ago. And, まあその時にも、まあ彼女はちょっと軽くその、まあ日本の芸能界の話をちょっとしてくれたんだよね。で、まあもちろん英語だから言いやすいとかもあると思うんだけど、で、なんか、まあいろいろ話してくれて、すごい嬉しかったみたいな話があった後に、まあちょっとこれ名前言わないけど、まあ、あるアナウンサーの人が、まあ、それを聞いてすごい良かったってテレビ局で私に言ってくれたのね。でその時に、まあ、ある、あの、まあ、ベテランの芸人が、まあ、そこにいて、こう、いや、なんか、そのお世話になってるのに、そんなことをいろいろ言うなんて、なんかすごい、
それはめっちゃ、
なんだろう、あの、ungrateful だみたいなことを言ってて、私はそれにすごいびっくりしたのね。なんか、あ、こうやって、こう、悪くなっていくんだなというか、そのすごい建設的な意見を言っただけなのに、うん、なんかこう攻撃されたみたいな感じで、この年齢だけを使ってなんかこう若い人を貶めるみたいなことをこうみんなの前で言うっていうのはすごいびっくりした。
Mm. I think there are so many people that want to be in these agencies so badly that once they're in, they kind of put up with so much crap. And then so the majority of people are willing to put up with crap.
Oh, yeah.
And it just creates this
system. なんかその人も、まあ、その人はすごい日本、もともと日本、ちょっと誰か分かっちゃうことあんまり言いたくないんだけど、もともと日本の社会じゃない人なのに、うん、そうやって日本の社会に染まっていったんだなと思ってがっかりしたし、なんかうちの番組に出たいみたいなふうに言ってくれたんだけど、なんか そういう姿を見た後に、なんかここに来てもらってもなって思っちゃったんだよね。
This, you guys can say, because I'm American, you guys can say this is just your ethnocentrism if you want to, but I think anything that somebody says like that is just an excuse of bad, like, company running and bad, like, abusing of power, and there's nothing, no excuse at all. No excuse at all.
Well, you see in Japan that... even like the top boxers in the world, they go to their apartment and it's like jugojo.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on here? You know, it's like they'll have like a really small place and they have no money and it's like they're the world champion. It's like, what? And then how does the manager not have, you know, like, it's like somehow the person who's actually doing the thing is getting ripped off more in Japan than other places, it seems like. And it kind of it removes the incentive for people to go into that aggressively. And we're not culminating the kind of like talent that we could, you know, because people kind of know like, oh yeah, you become a comedian. It's this whole deal.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I forgot what I was going to say.
でもなんかさ、その事務所の問題とか、こう、まあ、いろんな、もうみんななんとなく分かってるけど、 まあ、暗黙の了解みたいにしてることについて、うん、その英語だと話しても別に大丈夫なんだけど、うん、日本語だとなかなか言っちゃうと自分もすごい大変なことになっちゃうし言えないみたいな結構あるじゃん。なんか like I've had I've interviewed some actor、
うん、
in English、he's bilingual and so he was talk なんか自分事務所に入らないで彼は自分の事務所を立ち上げているのね、
うん、
でそれをなんでそうしたかっていう話をしてて彼もなんか言いかけてあ、ah, maybe I shouldn't say this あ、ah, でも this interview is gonna be in English so fuck it I'll say、yeah. it みたいな、なんか、
ah, you can say that word? Okay.
Yeah.
It's really holding back.
So なんかそういう問題もあるよね。こう日本語だとみんなこう自分で自分をセンサーしちゃうっていうか。
Yeah. Well, you have to because they'll crush、yeah. you. You know, like for instance, something that made me sick last year. It really made me sick because I know I'm not, won't say the name of the company, but you know the company with the really old guy who died. And it's
no
all,
idea.
No idea. The really idea. good looking guys who kind of are a little bit feminine. How the entire industry talks about how we missed him.
The creepy songs were written about that.
Think about Michael Jackson times like 1,000, and that's what it was. I know, guys.
Times 1,000? Michael Jackson?
I don't mean like good at... I don't mean dancing or singing. I mean like the other stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
Like systematic, because it's his company. You know what I mean? Mm. Yeah. Nobody says anything about it.
Mm.
It's so phony. TV's... I'm going to say something. I really don't care because I turn down almost everything now. TV sucks. It's so bad now. It's either quiz shows or shows of foreigners talking about how amazing Japan is.
Mm.
And that's it. That's not why I started, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've been complaining about Japanese TV for a while. So but.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Something you just mentioned, like, なんだろう、その、みんなわかってるけど、それについて言っちゃいけない。雰囲気みたいなさ、なんか
That's scary to me.
Yeah. だそれこそその政府とかに検閲されてるわけじゃないのに、自ら自分をセンサーするってさ、すごいことじゃん、本当は。
Yeah.
でもそれをなんか当たり前になっちゃってるって恐ろしいよね。
Yeah, that's it's really scary. It's just scary how obedient everybody is in general. You know.
Need some disobedience.
Yeah, we need some serious disobedience. I did a joke show the other day for the first time in like 6 months, and it just made me realize how much I don't like doing it anymore. I mean, it sounds really negative, but it, you know, like for instance, like there's you know 20 comedians and then a good-looking 20-year-old guy. I don't even know his name. You know, just a kid. You know what I mean? Like probably what I was trying to do when I was started. And he's, you know, he's the MC and he walks in, he's like, kitanai memba da na, and everybody's like, ya choi choi, and they all like fall over. And I was just thinking, oh God, I'm not going to fall over. I just stood there. I can't do it anymore. Yeah. The dantai gay type of stuff. It's so phony. Everything's so phony. I made some serious mistakes in my 20s, in my early 20s when I started, because I thought I could, and I take responsibility for it for sure. But I didn't ruin my life or anything like that, but I'm going to have to live with people, you know, bothering me about this stuff for the rest of my life while I'm in Japan. But there's so much lies on TV. I'm sure you guys know, right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, it comes as an epiphany over and over. Sometimes I'll be watching TV and something so bullshit's going on. I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm
done.
And I'm like,
Are you talking about your own, like how you started being on TV?
Yeah, like that. I'll give you an example. I won't say the TV show, but everybody's seen this TV show in Japan. I was on a TV show where they wanted me to introduce an item from my house that was worth like, you know, 50 grand or something like that. And I got to the studio and I've never seen the item in my life. And I introduced it as
Whoa.
My own.
Yeah.
なんかあれだよね、すごいお金持ちみたいなキャラ、なんか金持ちキャラみたいな。
I used to have to go on these shows, you know, and I'm not like that at all, by the way. You know, I take the train, but we'd have these meetings and the producer would be like, okay, I need you and you to say that you've only ridden in helicopters your entire life. And there's a guy, I forgot his name because he's gone now, but he lied about his parents being like Costco, it was in the news.
Oh.
Costco, what's Yaku in English?
Like executives?
God, I'm forgetting English. It's executives. and it wasn't true. And he got complete, like, Costco called him out. He got banned from the entertainment industry. He can never go on again. But it was the producer's fault for, like, you know, the producer's the person who's making the show. Mm. And
wow.
And everything's like that. Everything's so fake. And once you experience...
Where do you think that's coming from? Is it from the sponsors? You know, they don't want people to talk about certain things. I think there's some of that, but...
I think it's... part of it is... aiming for a very low standard, like, for audience. Hmm. Also trying to please old people, because mostly old people watch TV now. You know, lots of people listen to you or they watch YouTube and stuff like that.
その、まあ、番組だったら、じゃあ、ニックの家にあるこんな高いもの。
いやいやいや。
っていうのをもうあちらが用意してるわけじゃない？で、それをこう、どう、なんて言うんだろう。まあ、これ本当はニックのものじゃないんだけど、こうやって言ってくれるみたいな感じに言われるのか、それとももう当然のことのように、あ、じゃあこれね、みたいな感じなの。
I mean, it's like, you know, 自信満々、this is my stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, the people on are so phony, too. You know, I really used to like shows, and I shouldn't even say this, but, like, Ametalk. Mm-hmm. But I just realized, you know, it's the same people on the same thing. It's like if you were watching, like, the cool club at school. Like, you know what I mean? That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked, I know lots of, because there's tons of bilingual, what are they called? Kokoku Gaisha people, you know? Mm-hmm. And... the guys that I know are always making fun of the consumers in Japan.
Mm.
Like, the bilingual guys who've lived abroad, they're like, it's so low here, we can make them buy anything, we can make them watch. And do you know Kimi no Na wa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know how they made another movie after?
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure, and I just heard this from one person in a Koku Gaisha, a really big one, and he said they just realized how much money they could make, and they just pulled all these sponsors together and then proposed it to the guy and had him make it. And that's why, you know, there's a scene in it where it's like he eats a McDonald's hamburger and he's like, this is the best hamburger I've ever had, and stuff like that.
Right.
And the guy who I know was like, and the consumers are so dumb that they'll fall for all this and won't notice that it's...
What are your thoughts on, like, to what extent do you feel like this is happening in the United States as well? You know, because we have, like, iRobot, Will Smith's running around in the Converse, and we got product placements all over the place. Everyone's sort of warehoused in a larval state.
That is
consuming true. Just constant 24-hour cable television, you know, buy this John Deere tractor, buy this, you know, foot massaging thing, you need this for... It goes on and on. And then the drug advertisements, and we got all sorts of money tied up in all this. And the TV, the whole mind control TV idea starts to feel... totally real.
Yeah, well, it is probably the same in the United States. I think you have to be a little bit more clever with it, though.
Mm.
I just wonder, like, are consumers really that stupid and we actually deserve it, or...
We're so dumb.
Like,
bought dumb stuff.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time.
I just wonder...
I don't know. I mean, I just remember him telling me how easy, like, you know, you can just sell anything here, you know. And I'm sure it's this, God, it has to be. I just can't speak for America because I'm not living there right now, you know? But, just the phoniness. And the people on it are, like, you know, people you think would be really nice when you watch TV in real life aren't.
The stage is actually smaller than it looks, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, way smaller.
Yeah.
It's tiny.
You guys have gotten offers, no?
Yeah, but we haven't. Well, you went on TV.
I went on once.
You did?
She had a cat head.
Really? Yeah, I wore
full
a cat
helmet.
Head.
It was pretty trippy.
Yeah, I should see it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it will be free publicity, you know, we need new listeners and stuff, but then...
It's kind of awkward.
Oh, dude, it's...
I mean, I'm really not made for it, you know, I'm... 例えばその、じゃあカンペを読んでくださいとか、そのじゃあこのタイミングであこうですよねってこうマミさんから切り出してくださいみたいな。でもそれがなんか it felt so fake I couldn't do it。だからすごい全部無視してたんだけど、多分だからすごいイライラしたと思う。作ってる人は。
But it is so fake. You know, it's so cheesy and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, like I can't just read the compet. Like, that just felt really... Because it's not my words, you know?
Yeah.
You're a pawn, and they're just going to put you in the machine and try to churn some money out
of it. I mean, like, MC's doing that is fine, I guess, but because, you know, they need to 進行する, but I'm just a guest there. So why do I have to, you know, read the script? That felt kind of strange.
Yeah.
If we could replace some of the MCs or, you know, the host for the news with an AI digital person that would just read it off, I mean, would that change anything? It'd be the same, right?
I don't know. I mean, I really liked the MCs. They were like really nice and everything, but it's just the structure.
Yeah, yeah, it's the structure.
But they could be a robot.
I don't know.
You know, they just have to be able to peel the things off of the board.
Yeah, yeah. You guys talked about that. I was laughing so hard on the episode. This must have been like 2 years ago, how silly it is, how they peel the things.
They'll peel anything.
Yeah.
They'll peel anything.
It feels really good, though. I've done it a couple times, and it's really like, it's like getting a basketball in basketball. Yeah.
I wish they'd get the mic up close next to the peel so I could hear that.
Peel it.
It's really strange. It's
an ASMR.
Yeah. I mean, it's just behind the times, really, especially here. I mean, when you have like streaming services that give you really niche, you know, subjects or genres that you want to watch. I mean, I just much prefer to watch that.
Yeah. Maybe something more educational. Specific.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool that you can come here and talk about all these things, but like, I assume that most people cannot.
Well, I have nothing to lose now. You know, if I'm doing so many other things that, you know, if the worst case scenario, people got mad at me about it, whatever. It just lets you know, you know, like for most comedians, most Japanese comedians, they don't make enough money. You know that, right? I mean, they're doing like baito every day, all day. Right.
Couldn't you be successful independently, even in Japan, given all the technology resources that there are? I think you could. I mean, depends what you're trying to do. But I think this stranglehold that these agencies and all the system has on people is not as strong as people think it is.
Not at all. No way.
But maybe before it was. You legit weren't going to show up somewhere if they had a problem. But now with YouTube and Twitter and, I don't know, TikTok or whatever it is, like, people can go around this stuff.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. There's tons of people doing it. I mean, that's what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you're doing it right now.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I did a channel last year, a YouTube channel, and I was getting so many subscribers, but I couldn't deal with having to look at numbers myself. And I just, out of like a panic, I just deleted it.
Oh.
I was getting like 1,000 a month too. It was really good. And then I did it for like 6 months.
Like a pressure in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had somebody else like running it for me, I could do it, but I can't look at numbers myself. It really bothers me.
They don't have that personal manager set up here. Have you considered that?
I've never considered that. I probably should at some point. The cool thing about what I'm doing with the English stuff is it's shot in a TV studio. So it's, you know, it's not classes. I mean, it is classes, but it's basically doing a really fun TV show where you're teaching people stuff and that kind of, and I can still be funny.
Yeah.
So
that so-ka, like, so-ka. That's
that,
really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. High school students. Yeah.
Yeah. So-ka.
Are there TV shows that you like and respect on Japanese TV?
Yes. I'd say Sunday Japan is funny. I think that...
Oda-san,
Yeah. Maybe that's the only one I can think of right now. Can I ask you guys a question? And please don't say the name of the song or the name of the TV station. Do you know the song that all kids are singing right now? And that's going to be...
Yeah. Yes.
Does that not feel like some weird type of like brainwash? Like it's played all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, is there some weird hidden message in this? Because
I think any parent would know what you're talking about, but なんか日本はそれだし.
You can't say what it is?
Well, I guess you can.
I can. Paprika de sho.
Yeah. I just think it's strange that it's played like 10 times or 20 times a day, right? It's I mean, maybe they just want everybody to be able to sing it during the Olympics or something.
Is it some sort of, is it like the new...
Do you not know what that is? Are you out of your mind?
Oh, I've probably heard it.
Oh, yeah.
When I hear, like, Paprika is like a sci-fi movie, a Japanese
movie. Oh, I love that.
Who wrote that? Tsutsui or something? No.
I don't know. Ah, yeah, Tsutsui Yasutaka.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah, just to kind of delve into some more interesting parts of comedy, Right now, like, what I'm researching in grad school is kind of, like, I'm writing about Manzai because I, like, you read other people's stuff about Manzai and it kind of pisses me off because I feel like if you haven't done it for at least, like, 8-7 years or something like that, you shouldn't, you don't understand what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do it to understand it.
You have to do it till you kind of get to this burnout-y point.
Yeah. I mean, but some interesting things. Do you guys know what, like, incongruity resolution theory is? It's, like, the most basically basic form of a joke where somebody says, like, a setup and then there's a punchline that, you know, how do you say it? That goes against what the setup is.
Oh, okay.
And basically what Manzai is, you know, there's a setup either by the tsukomi or the bokeh. The bokeh says something that, you know, goes against what the setup was. Mm. And then the resolution is the tsukomi, you know, bringing back like the, what the tsukomi is basically like the voice of common sense or like, right. And that's why it works really well in Japan. Cause everybody has the same opinion about the bokeh. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I've been reading a lot about that. And what's really interesting is that I've noticed, and I'm going to start interviewing more comedians about this. I'm going to plan on interviewing Muramoto-san from Umanna Shower and like Pekabo. Japanese people are starting to not care about the resolution anymore.
Hmm.
When before that was the most important part of Manzai was like the tsukomi.
Huh.
But for instance, you know Pekabo? Have you seen their jokes?
I love Pekabo.
Yeah. Like he doesn't tsukomi, so there's no real resolution.
Yeah.
Or there's a group called Shogeki Sentai where they do, where the book, the tsukomi comes first and then the bokeh has to find a bokeh that matches
the tsukomi.
So it's basically turned it upside down. And I'm really seeing a tendency in comedy in Japan where it's, you know, manzai is such a strict, like, it's a traditional art inside of a box. Mm. And you can't break open the box, but you can kind of, like, expand it and bend it and do all these things with it.
Mm.
And that's kind of interesting how Japanese comedians do that.
Yeah, I really liked Pekoba no yatsu. Naka, because it's not... like, 否定してないじゃん、何も。
Yeah.
And that's so new.
That's the whole point of the tsukomi. Yeah.
And it's so, like, yasashi.
Yeah.
Nanka, it feels like it's matching the, nanka, 今のその diversity とかさ.
Yeah.
全部をaccept してくれるみたいな.
But the PC stuff is really, I feel, getting in the way of Japanese TV. Like, for instance, do you remember when Hamada-san did the blackface on...
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So my partner, I won't...
Was that the New Year's show?
Yeah, the New Year's show.
I actually saw the video that you made with...
That's him.
With, what's
Black
his name?
Samurai.
Oh, Black Samurai.
I actually deleted it because I didn't agree with what I said.
Okay.
But...
Okay.
But, I think I deleted it because I didn't agree with what I said.
Someone downloaded that.
Yeah, somebody downloaded it. You can upload it, I don't care. But anyway...
It's on Daily Motion.
It's on somewhere. Anyway, so my partner, the black dude...
Mm.
He just recorded a show for, like, a joke show, and they contacted him and said, I'm sorry, we can't put you on because of the Hamada blackface thing, and we don't want to offend anybody.
What?
Like, yeah, he's like, wait, what are you talking about? I am black. It's not blackface. But that's the type of shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They ended up
putting it on air, like, 6 months later or something like that. But just the other day when we did that joke show, which reminded me why I don't want to do... I'm so tired of it. Because it's a lot more, pop culture than in America. You know what? Like, part of Western comedy is to kind of push social boundaries, but it's that's not
edgy.
In Japan. It's like absurdist silliness. Mm. And it's still funny, you know?
Mm.
But so we do a thing where, do you know Dacho Club when they like kiss each other?
Yeah.
They act like they're going to fight. We do a thing where like me and him are going to fight. Then we get close and we grab each other and spin around each other. We say, hai, cafe ole, because I'm white and he's black. And they make you send the daihon to the TV show before you go on, like a week before, to make sure there's nothing that you can't go on. And that's the last line in our joke. And 5 minutes before we go on, she's like, I'm sorry, we're going to have to make, you guys can't do that anymore.
Why?
Well, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm white and he's black. You know, it's like we're saying it himself. And she was like, well, you just don't want to, you know, hurt people with racism. And I was just like, well, if you say that, then I'm going to have to go home right now. I can't do it. And then she called somebody up and they let us do it. That's why I'm amazed at what you can get away with if you just assert yourself a little bit.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, but stuff like that's happening all the time. Like, our name was Jinshusan Kyodai for a while, and no TV show would let us go on as the name Jinshusan Kyodai.
Nanisan Kyodai?
Jinshu, like, right, like the three.
Oh, Jinshu. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
それもダメなの?
それもダメ。
だからそのさ、ブラックフェイスがなんで問題かっていうのを多分分かってないよね。分かってないからこれもダメってことになっちゃうってことだよね。
Well, and obviously, I didn't think his intention was wrong, like, at all. It's so removed from America, you can't even compare. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Mm.
But, yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about the sort of PC movement broadly?
I'm like, completely against PC movement broadly.
Well, as a comedian, it must be... It's just... The no fun police.
Yeah.
Well, misinterpreting what people mean.
So you have to send the neta like in advance and they will basically censor it.
Yeah. Well, any tweet that I tweet out, I always send to my wife first just to make sure that I'm not going to get in trouble for it. Because I've gotten in trouble for...
Is that every single tweet?
Not every single, but anything I think is going to be... And it's... Man, I remember Lena talked about this on the podcast. And I don't mean to badmouth her at all, but I remember she said she was really frustrated that people didn't get like the political jokes that she was saying. Didn't she said something like that, right?
I guess.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't really remember.
You remember it better.
Like it just didn't work. That really stands out in my mind. And I feel like she's probably right in some ways, but if the audience doesn't laugh, it's always your fault, no matter what. Like you can't ever blame it on the audience. So that just means her joke wasn't funny and she just started comedy too, you know? So I mean, it's kind of hard to speak from the experience of a comedian when you just start comedy.
Yeah.
But I've said things that I think you couldn't say on TV, on Twitter, that people got, and people like it. But I got backlash. I've deleted so many tweets because of that.
How many tweets have you deleted?
Quite a bit. Yeah. Do you remember? It happened last year. The two girls talking about Watanabe Naomi.
No.
Not Watanabe Naomi. That's Osaka Naomi. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
You remember that was like big news. They got in trouble for like a racist joke or something like that.
Okay.
I forgot what I tweeted, but it when you're a comedian and you're on stage or something like that, you'll do anything to make people laugh. Like you embarrass yourself. You say things that you don't really believe in.
Yeah.
And sometimes you say it just not like, you know, it's almost not conscious. You know, do you know what I mean? And I know those two girls and I know that they're not racist. And it felt really crazy to me that everybody, and they should take responsibility for saying like a joke like that, but it was just like a witch hunt. And they love that stuff here.
And the witch hunt stuff?
Yeah, witch hunt stuff, which comes to another point of mine, which I'm thinking a lot about lately, and you just said you want to do anything on your own. Bill Murray said, if you want to get famous, try getting rich first. And I completely understand that because there's nothing good about being famous. Unless you're like 20 when I was started and I want to like... like... bang as many girls as I can or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But besides that, I don't understand what point is there to being famous besides you lose all of your privacy. I'm not even famous and I still get my, like, people still come up to me and bother me.
Do people come up while you're, like, eating or while you're hanging
out? Not as much now, but when I started. But I've had people threaten to kill my son on Twitter.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, yeah. And stuff like that. There's nothing good about... I mean, unless you really... I mean, the whole point of, like, being a human, I guess, is to make as much money as possible and procreate. So it makes sense why wanting to get famous would, like, work when you're young. But I don't see the point of it. Like, I'd much rather have my own privacy, have, like, a show where, you know, I can say what I want and take maybe a little bit of a pay cut.
Is that why your radio show is called Mushuse?
Yeah. And we just restarted. I did it for, like... It's crazy. You guys are the only really successful podcast in Japan.
Are we really successful?
I don't know.
No, I would say that. It's so crazy. Podcasts have not taken off here except your guys' podcast.
Well, I hope yours starts doing
better. Yeah, maybe it will. It's not good enough yet.
You're right. You know, most of the big ones are these big companies that are producing some, you know, they got tons of sponsors and it's this big corporate thing. So
it's like it's just the radio on a podcast a lot of the time.
Yeah. And it doesn't really look like that in like overseas.
No. I mean, podcasts. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to do it overseas. You know,
What is your show about?
Not about anything. I just talk about whatever I want to talk about. And, I say stuff that definitely could incriminate me, and it's uncensored. And I'm not the type of person that's, you know, I'm anti-PC, so I'll say something that will piss you off type of guy. Yeah. But I just don't want to live in a society where I have to worry about, like, if I'm going to say something reasonable and somebody's going to attack me for saying it. Yeah. That's the scariest thing.
It taxes, like, your your spirit, like your mind.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking something and it's like, I'm living in 1984.
Well, it's made me more racist. Seriously.
Mm.
I'm so sensitive to it that when, like, say when we were at Jochi in 2000, whatever, I probably didn't think about anything like that. But now I think, oh, wait, what if it offends that person or something like that?
Mm.
Oh, because of their race or something. Yeah. So everyone has to start thinking in this, like, racial lens and constantly monitor everything. Yeah. And it's like humans are different. Like, it's a big deal. Like, what do we got to be so uptight about?
でも確かにね、なんかそのさっきのカフェオレもダメとか言われちゃうとさ、なんかえじゃあ何だったらいいんだろうとか、何がダメなんだろう。
Well, I mean, there's no commentary on whether it's okay to be white or it's okay to be. It's just saying that. You know what I mean? And it's that's so crazy. That's racist to me. That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane. That's crazy.
Well, that's the world we're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have a question about. For both of you, and we can kind of completely different subject. What do you think about it being called a Chinese virus, the coronavirus?
Oh God, well, do you want to go first?
Are you passing this off? Well, it depends what you mean by Chinese.
Yeah.
So some people could think like Chinese virus, Chinese people. We call them Chinese.
Yeah.
So it's the same word. So we don't want to do that. You know, so I hear that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the only incentive that we can create to prevent things like this from happening is something like putting a responsibility on countries that allow it to happen.
Can I kiss you?
Please
not,
don't.
not during the outbreak. Not during the outbreak.
Yeah.
But I think incentives are what's really important here. And I mean... If us being worried about offending people creates a worse outcome for health globally or something, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a thing on, like, you know, on Twitter, people saying, like, you know, racism is more dangerous than the virus, like, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call what it is, man. I was here when swine flu came, wasn't there bird flu too?
Spanish flu.
There's Ebola is also, I think, has like some place in Africa. I'm pretty sure it is.
Mm.
But like if you, he was on Joe Rogan. Do you listen to Joe Rogan? I don't know.
Yeah.
The epidemiologist guy.
I don't know if I've heard.
Well, he basically wrote a book in like 2010, and he's like, there's a chapter, and he said China is gonna create a new virus, and there's gonna be a big problem.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what happened.
Mm.
And I, you know, and I'm not saying Chinese people, by the way. I'm talking about the government. I think they should take responsibility for what happened. That's just my.
Yeah. Well, at this point, it's like we've sort of acknowledged that those animal trade markets are not the right thing to be doing in a world that's as global and interconnected as we are now. And a lot of the things, the way they're handling these animals, you know, you just have, you know, chopped up animals being fed to other animals and it kind of this crazy stuff. Have you seen the videos of the
wet animal markets?
These markets?
Yeah.
Like they're doing pretty horrible stuff to a lot of these animals. You know, they peel like foxes and stuff while they're alive, raccoons and stuff.
Can I add on to that?
Yeah.
Like when I eat meat, and I do eat meat, I didn't eat meat for 20 years.
Wow.
And I eat it now.
20 years?
Yeah, for 20 years I was a vegetarian. It's really hard to be one in Japan, so I stopped.
Right.
Mm. But I, you know, I recognize, I've hunted here before. I have a funny story about that. It's a TV story. But I recognize that it's meat, and I acknowledge that I'm eating something that was living, but I don't really want to connect it to that animal when I'm eating it. Mm. But when you look at the things in the wet, like, the wet markets, like dogs that like looks like it was burned alive and its mouth is like looks like it's screaming while it happened. Mm. There's just something weird to me about that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a different opinion. Like, it's all about whether you're used to it or not, right? So like, for example, if you go to izakaya in Japan, like you see a whole fish like sashimi with its head, you know, or like we eat shrimp head and its mouth is open, but like we don't think anything of it. So I guess it's just a cultural difference. And I think the this Chinese virus thing, that's also, I mean, yeah, maybe it started from China and maybe it's natural to call it Chinese virus. But then at the same time, there are people who are wazato calling it Chinese virus to kind of instigate this racism thing there. And I was actually on Facebook yesterday and one of our, you know, friends from Sofia was actually writing something. She lives in the States and she felt she had this like scary moments where people thought that she was Chinese and they were, you know, and she lives there far away from family and no one can really help
people
her.
People thought she was infected, you mean?
No, she was just shopping and people were just like, oh, like,
harboring anger towards her for
being Asian, basically. Like, yeah, so, and that doesn't really help if the government officials are like kind of repeating the fact that it's like Chinese and, you know, Asians and all kind of like perceptions, you know, so.
Yeah. That's definitely understandable for sure.
So.
Yeah. I just think like the what is it, Communist Party of China, is that what it's called? The way they handled it was so bad, like hiding it for, yeah, I don't know. You look at how busy and packed Tokyo is, but things like that don't happen in Tokyo.
I hope not.
Worried about like what's going on now because I don't trust that there's as few cases as they're saying there are.
Yeah, it seems pretty suspicious after what's happened in the United States with the it's gone full lockdown and they don't want more than 10 people hanging out in the same place. Here we have, you know, packed trains and people are just cruising. And you came from Italy, so
I was in Milan.
You barely made it out, man. Look at Italy right now. You and whoever you were with could be, you know, hooked up on these crazy things.
I think it was maybe we made it by like 4 days, but I have to say it was the safest place to be because there was nobody anywhere when I was there. We got into like 2 restaurants, but it was so bizarre.
Were you there for vacation?
Yeah, I was there for vacation. Oh, okay. Me and my friends.
So 本当は あれ先々週だっけ? に収録するはずだったんだけど ミラノ から帰ってきたばっかりっていうからちょっと延期してもらったんだよね
Yeah, I was in Milano. So that's like, you know, is it Lombardy or something? Is like the, sorry, I said that super American. In Lombardy?
Lombardy?
Lombardy, yeah. Like in Lombardy. So I was in Lombardy and like it was so bizarre. Nothing was open. But that kind of made the trip cool. And can I say one thing that made the trip cool is we got kind of wasted, me and my friends, and we were like, dudes, what does Corona mean in Italian to my Italian friend? He was like, it means crown, like Corona, you know, like Corona beer. And we were like, we need to get Corona tattoos right now.
No.
So we all went to it.
You actually got it? We all went to
got Corona tattoos.
Damn.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a crazy, pretty royal looking crown. Yeah. That's not one of the little hat ones.
Yeah, this is a real. It's funny because the tattoo artist was laughing so hard and she said, like, out of the 20 years she's been tattooing, she's never had this much fun like tattooing somebody before.
Oh my
God. Because
we
were just talking about it.
What did your wife say?
About the tattoo or the Corona?
Yeah.
About the tattoo?
Yeah, the tattoo.
She didn't care.
Oh,
she doesn't care about that type of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so nanda.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. So cool.
Well, I'm glad you made it out of there.
Yeah, man. I'm glad I made it out too.
Yeah.
But this made it so worth it, though. I mean, like, I'll be able to tell people about that, like, for the rest of my life.
そうだね。そうだね。
What a souvenir.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a weird, like, 背景の話。
Can I get super ADHD on you guys? Because I really am ADHD. And go
ahead.
Back to the meat story that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. You said you had a hunting story.
Yeah, I had a hunting story. So I was a vegetarian. I never, you know, hunted or anything like that. And I did a TV show maybe 4 or 5 years ago where they put me in Miyaken with a trapper, like for 3 days. And we have to be in the forest. And to survive, we have to catch the animals ourselves.
Dang.
Yeah. It was
That's
really
intense.
Crazy because, like, I'm a like D&D and like Lord of the Rings nerd, so like he really felt like a ranger, like he was like the treks, like, you know, like this leaf has been bent down, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it took about 3 days, and we finally caught like a deer, and they were like, Nick, you're gonna have to do it. And
oh my god,
yeah. And the thing is, you don't do it with a gun; you do it with a sword.
Oh my god,
a sword? How do you get that?
Cut? Well, first they like shock it, and then you just go crack. With like a sword.
How do they shock it?
With like a big cattle prod.
Like so a, someone sneaks all the way up.
First, we catch it. First,
okay. I'm like, isn't it going to run away?
Yeah, it is close to ninja. It's close to Iga, so there are ninjas there.
How hard is it to ninja all the way up to a deer?
Yeah, that'd be really hard, I think. I think that'd be impossible. But anyway.
How'd you catch it, though?
It's like in a cage. Oh. Like there's food, and then they fall in.
Okay.
So we catch it, and the director's like, Nick, you're going to have to do it. And you know when you're about to cry, like you get like a really heavy throat, like there's a stone in your throat or something, and your lips start like wiggling.
Shaking,
That's what started happening. And I was a vegetarian, and I was a vegetarian because I didn't like cruelty to animals too.
Oh.
And I was like, I told him like, I don't think I can do this. Like, you know, I'll eat meat, but I just can't do it with a gun. You're so far away. You know, it's probably a lot easier.
Yeah.
And he's like, Nick, it was for like a G20 summit or something like that. Like, I don't know why this is for the G20 summit.
What?
Something.
What?
But he's like, Nick, this TV show will not.
This is for cool Japan.
Yeah.
We got to do.
What?
This will not work unless you finish this off. So I'm begging you, just do it. Like, and you kind of pressure me into it. I stabbed it and they cry like a human. Like they make a crying sound and tears come out. And I pull it out and just blood just comes out. And the director's like, cut, too bloody. We can't use this.
Oh my God.
I was so pissed.
Wow.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. But if you do it once, this sounds like a psychopath thing to say. You can do it again. Much easier. Yeah.
It does sound like a psychopath thing.
So you did it again?
No, I've never done it again. But if I had to, I know I could.
Oh, wow.
So you haven't gone hunting since
then? No. I really would rather do that. I'd rather, you know, another fellow Joe Rogan listener, I'd rather do it myself. I'd feel better about it.
But. Yeah, he's had a lot of hunting. I forget when he got onto this whole
hunting thing,
hunting kick. But I think it's been influential for a lot of people in terms of the way they think about their food and where it comes from. And so if you're going to eat meat, well, you're sort of outsourcing the murder of that animal.
Yes.
Or the killing of that animal. And, you know, so having a personal connection to that whole thing is a more responsible and aware way to eat meat.
Mm.
And
a humane way too.
Yeah.
I'm sure it changes what you eat too, right? It's like if you have to kill it, then you choose some animals that are easier to kill. Or,
well, I've never killed anything bigger than like a, I don't know.
Fish?
Maybe a snail. Maybe not.
You never caught a fish?
Oh, yeah. I have killed fish. No, that's right. They're barely alive, though.
Compared to maybe.
The face makes it really easy for a fish. You look at that fish's face, it's like, nah, this thing is barely there.
I caught one once in high school, and I cried because I felt so bad about it. Yeah.
About the fish.
Yeah, I felt so bad about the fish, I cried.
I've cried cooking komochi shishamo when I was pregnant.
It was alive?
No, but I bought it at supermarket, Futsuni, and then I put them, you know, like side by side on the frying pan.
But they were dead already, right?
They were totally dead, but with the heat, they were kind of moving, and they all have eggs, so they're like, they were pregnant, just like I was. And it kind of broke my heart, like, oh no, they were all pregnant, and these are all girls, and they're dead.
Have you gone
and
to
I got depressed.
A fancy like sashimi place, and sometimes they bring a fish out and it's like
alive.
Still alive.
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
like chopped
yeah, yeah.
it up.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's alive.
Yeah,
it's the craziest thing.
I
it's like still moving.
Yeah,
like taco.
Yeah.
Like that too. It's moving.
That doesn't make me hungry at all.
I don't know what. Oh, I could have waited 15 seconds for it to start moving.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. That doesn't do it for me, really.
No.
So you haven't killed a fish on me?
I have not killed a fish.
Mm.
I don't think I did either, actually. I think I put it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I've whacked a fish's head.
Really?
With what?
No, I just holding the fish. And
I have a worse psychopath story for you. When I was in middle school, I was walking down the street and a little bird fell out of a tree.
Hmm.
And I was like, poor thing. Like, I felt really bad for it. So I stepped on it.
My
friend was like, dude, it was fine. What did you just do?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You stomped a little birdie. Yeah.
I was like, dude, it was going to get up. Why did you do that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There was a blue jay that was injured in my front yard when I was living in Austin as a kid. And I took it in and I took care of this bird forever. And it wouldn't fly. it wouldn't fly. Like its wing was mangled and it just walked around. And then I took it outside to see if it could fly. I let it go and this cat exploded out of a bush and just snatched it right in front of me. And I'm like, it was gone.
It's a circle of life.
Yeah.
Cats. Yeah. I wouldn't be okay with cats for a long time.
I wasn't. I went to my neighbor's house and knocked on her door and I was like, I'm going to sue you. You killed my bird.
Very American thing to say.
Yeah, I'm going to sue you.
Everyone says that. Yeah. Once you're like 6 years old, that's all you're saying. I'm going to sue you.
Yeah. I remember a kid said that at the haircutter when I was a little kid.
None of them sue people.
I'm going to sue you. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I like that though. It's funny.
Yeah. Unless it really happens.
And you can actually get a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, you can get.
By suing other people.
It has to be like McDonald's or Amazon or something. Some giant company though.
Yeah. That never happens here. So.
Yeah.
Lawyers are much cheaper in Japan too, in general.
Yeah. Mm. Probably they make less money.
Probably much less money.
Yeah. So you were a vegetarian for a long time and you came here and did you try to stay as a vegetarian?
Maybe for a little while and then I gave up. And once you eat like good yakiniku, man, it's really hard to it's really hard to I've had some senpai take me out to some places that are just like, whoa, this is amazing. Mm. Yeah.
The 8-5.
Yeah, dude. It's so good.
So do you eat anything now?
I don't like fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh? I don't like seafood. It's kind of weird to say. It's embarrassing to say.
None of them? There's so many different fish.
No, I don't like any of them. They all taste like seawater.
Damn.
I ate whale the other day because I wanted to just like try it to see if it was worth eating. It just tasted like seawater.
Whale? Seawater.
Yeah.
Huh?
So what about like... lobsters or
no
crabs.
That's something I just can't even that's impossible. You might as well just eat a cockroach in front of me if you're gonna eat a lobster.
Interesting. Yeah.
They scare me, like I can't touch.
I feel that way about like all those lobstery shrimpy things. If it shows up no legs fried and I know how far down I can bite to eat the shrimp,
and
it's totally cool. But I was in I was on the Big Island in Hawaii and there's all these shrimp trucks and they bring these shrimp out. They got all the legs on there. So there's like 200 legs like bunched up on the bottom of the shrimp and it's got the full shell on and everyone's just grabbing them and throwing them straight in their mouth. Whole thing. Yeah. The entire shrimp.
It's
eyeballs,
good.
Shrimp, butthole, the whole thing.
Oh, shrimp butthole. I'm going to start a band.
Shrimp butthole.
A thrash band.
What? 口揚げとか美味しいじゃん。 なんか一匹丸々刺さってるやつとか。
You like the legs and stuff? It doesn't bother you?
Doesn't bother me at all.
It bothers me so
much. See, so that's the thing, right? Like, I'm used to it, so.
My tongue is like counting the legs.
Yeah, I can't do it. What do you like to eat? What do you not like to eat, then?
I don't know. Papaya?
Papaya?
Natto. Just anything that's stinky.
I don't
stinky.
Like shirako.
Ah, okay.
無理だわ、あれは。
それもシーフードだね。魚の金玉だよ、あれは。金玉だからね、あれは。
I cannot eat that. No.
It's manly.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You're displaying your dominance when you eat
it. I guess when you eat it.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing have you eaten then?
Trying to think what the weirdest thing I've ever eaten is. Probably not weird here, though.
I see.
You know, what do you think's weird, the weirdest thing? You've had, like, ikasumi?
No, I can't. That's too gross. I've had sea cucumber, which is really gross.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Namako?
What? Does a sea cucumber, like, have any limbs?
No.
Does it have eyes?
I don't know. No. I don't remember. It was cooked, too, but it was not a good shokukan. What's that in English?
So you ate the whole thing?
I didn't eat the whole thing. I was, like, trying to not vomit, like, you know.
Which part did you eat, though?
I have no idea. What's the weirdest thing you ate?
The zimba一緒じゃないの?
The sea cucumber butthole. They served you.
Sea cucumber butthole.
I haven't really had anything that's.
Have you had sea cucumber? I didn't even know people ate those.
I don't think so.
Sea cucumber. Oh, I think it was a sea cucumber. It looked like a cucumber and it was from the sea and it was an animal. So I'm pretty sure it was a sea cucumber.
Okay.
Yeah.
全然関係ないけど、普段日本語と英語どっち使うことが多い?
あの。 英語喋れる人だったら英語で、家とかは日本語。そっか。仕事も日本語。 Yeah.
英語教える時も日本語で教えてる?
Half. So I mean, I'm not quite, like, obviously not as good as you guys, but I can speak, like, enough Japanese in all my work, all the jokes I write. It's really funny because I don't know how to be funny in English, but I do know how to do it, like, it's like a linguistics thing.
Have you done stand-up?
No, and I'll never do it. Wow. It's too scary, number one. And number two, like, the way I learned how to be funny was linguistically in Japanese.
そっかそっか. Huh.
It's really weird.
So you don't have any confidence that you could do stand-up comedy?
I think I could learn how to do it, but I wouldn't make any money doing it, so it's not worth it to me. Like,
but if you were at some place, some establishment, and they were like, hey, can you go up and like do a set? Or something? You'd be like, hell no.
I'm not gonna. I'd say, and there's really good stand-up comics in Japan, too. Have you guys seen?
Japanese ones?
Yeah, no, they're like expats that do stand-up. I mean, the level's really high in Tokyo. They're really good.
Yeah, I've seen some.
Some of them are good. Some of them suck. Mm. But it's the same with Japanese comedians, too.
I haven't seen any really good ones. I've seen a few.
Really? I've seen some really good ones. Yeah, I've seen ones that if they knew how to translate and perform them in Japanese, they could probably get them in Japanese. For a while, when I was still doing Time Bomb, I was doing basically stand-up comedy in Japanese with a tsukomi. And basically the whole point of the tsukomi is... So with manzai... it's part of the point of doing manzai is to like reinsert a conventional thought process, like the Japanese, like everybody's, you know, like harmony and group harmony and stuff like that. So it's the opposite of stand-up comedy, where it's one person's unique skewed worldview saying it to other people.
Yeah.
The whole point of manzai is the opposite.
Mm.
It's all like aru-aru, you know, aru-aru.
Right,
like
right.
Do you like a stand-up comedy?
Yeah. I mean, I've been really jaded from doing comedy for so long, so it's kind of hard, but there are some stand-up comics that I really like.
Hmm.
Do you like Bill Hicks?
I think he's okay. I mean, he's obviously like a master, but sometimes a little bit too preachy, but you know, like a lot of it's clapping instead of laughing sometimes.
Bill Hicks, to me... He's kind of the epitome of what you wouldn't see in Japan.
Yeah.
Someone that comes out just, you know, guns blazing.
Yes.
You know, talking crap about stuff and turning that into his comedy material.
Yeah.
You know, criticizing society and the government.
I mean, you know Muramoto-san from Umanashi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to learn English, and I'm really good friends with him. I'd love to introduce you guys, but he couldn't do a podcast in English.
Mm.
But he basically does that now. On TV. I mean, it became like
a
problem.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And basically the whole point of his tsukomi is just to soften the blow from the things that he says.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Which
talks really fast.
Yeah, talks really fast.
Super fast.
Yeah.
But
I just don't see how the entertainment industry is going to continue how it is right now. And I think that, you know, like with manzai, everybody... self-censors, everybody does the same topics over. Do you like Japanese comedy or no? Just out of curiosity.
I prefer the sort of Western stand-up format for comedy. But, I mean, there are certain things that I think work really well as manzai, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah. What about you?
I love owarai. I love... I mean, I'm not kawashi or anything, but, like, terebi de yattetara zettai miru shi. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just from doing it this long, and there are people making new stuff, but I just don't feel like it's really changed, and I do feel like stand-up has changed. Like, there's just, like, they allow themselves to do more stuff.
It's exploded. Like, in the last probably 10, 15 years, stand-up in the West has exploded, and I don't think there's been that same growth.
No, it's the opposite. Manzai. It's the opposite of... That's why there's no owarai bangumi at all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever, you know, you'll see a special once in a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you don't see... You
like,
know.
Who do you like?
Do you know who Warafuji Naro is? They're my favorite. They're so good.
Okay.
You'd like them. I'll very them perverted. I mean, his sense of humor is very sick.
Okay.
And it's not like he's saying anything that you can't say. It's just he's completely nuts. check him out. They're always on King of Konto. They used to be in my company.
Okay.
Who else do I think is... I think them. Maybe Kamo Mentaru. Do you know them?
Yeah.
He speaks English, by the way.
Ah, so
yeah,
nanda.
Yeah. Oh. Urai-san.
Soka.
Yeah. Kamo, they don't do manzai, though. They do Konto. Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, I've seen so much, and so much is so... Like, the thing about also manzai... Like, when you do stand-up comedy, like, one of the most important parts of it is sounding like you're actually, like you didn't practice it, and that it's like an authentic one-way conversation to the audience. But with Manzai, you know, it's like, Haidomo! Like, it's like...
scripted.
Yeah. So, but they're, like, I'd say Manzai is much closer to wrestling, like banter in between... in between, like, than it is. Because there's a suspension of disbelief from the audience perspective. Because, you know, these guys aren't really that stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed about Manzai, and I haven't written about this at all, but I've thought about it a lot, is that it's... I hope I'm not babbling on. Is it okay?
No, go ahead.
Of course.
Is that, while the stand-up comic from, and people have disagreed with me on this, I feel like a stand-up comic is God, and the audience is below him. Mm-hmm. And with Manzai, it's usually for almost like a Jesus, like a sacrificial lamb. Like, so you'll have one fat guy who basically makes all the other fat people in the audience feel good about themselves because he's the one who's the butt of the joke. So it's like a psychological, like, this is the way, the only way we can criticize these people in society. You know, it's always ugly women that couldn't get married, fat women, fat guys.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think, まあ数年ぐらい前から結構話題になるようになってきたけど、その、 見た目をいじる、その特に女性の
yeah.
なんかそのブスとか yeah. デブとか
There's been some controversy with, you know, the bullying that happens during some of these, like, what would you even call it, like, waidou show?
Yeah, or like a variety.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're ragging on someone for their appearance, and they're playing along with it in the moment, but later, you know, it comes out like, hey, that was... Hurtful, or with me,
you know, I get called stuff all the time, and I don't hold it against anybody because I care more about if the audience laughed at what I was called than what I feel. But I do deep down in myself not feel good about it. But you know, the oldest form of comedy is, you know, it's like something called superiority theory, where the whole point of it is to make yourself and everybody else feel superior to the person that you're targeting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So. I can't be helped, but I do think it's so boring that that's all they can do. Is that all you can do? Is that you have to be a fat girl, you have to be an ugly girl, you can't be married, there's nothing else you can do?
There's a lot of smacking, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of smacking.
Well, my opinion on that is that it's a way, because the bokeh says something that's not socially accepted. It's the way to be punished after saying that, that will make what he said okay.
Right.
Interesting.
That's true.
But you don't see that kind of smacking in Western.
Well, you saw it in like the 50s and 40s.
Oh, yeah. The slapstick.
Yeah,
you know,
slapstick.
Or like
stuff.
Charlie Chaplin or something.
Yeah. It's so silly. Like the dantaige that I was telling you about earlier, where everybody falls over. I physically can't. I stand up as straight as possible and I can't move for them because it's so stupid.
Right.
I don't understand how anybody could think that's funny.
But you are expected to do it,
right?
Right.
Like I don't do it.
But some of these gags have been in circulation for like 20, 30, 40 years, these gags. You know, it's a slight tweak on the same exact joke.
Some of these guys, man. So the way it works is you get on TV, and there's a couple ways to be a comedian. Guys who only do TV, so you make quite a bit of amount of money. And just to let you know, TV doesn't pay that well. You know, what pays well is the aegyo.
Right.
You know, so some of these guys get 10 grand per aegyo and they have aegyo 30 times a month or whatever, you know what I mean? So when you have a gag or something like that, and that's the other thing, a difference between Japan and America is if you do a joke, and I'm like this too, if you do a joke in America and you finished, I'm getting really going to get nerdy with you guys.
Okay.
You work on your material for a year, do a special, and then throw it all away. In Japan, you work on all your material, never show it to anybody, do it as special, and then work on it throughout the year and then keep it forever. So you're doing the same. It's the complete opposite. And it's really, it's interesting because Japanese people are like, yeah, that makes sense because I don't want to see something that somebody's already done. But with American audience, they want to see like the polished version of stuff.
And they want to see more growth from the individual.
Yes.
You know, what is this person's path? What is their journey? You know, where are they going? And that turns into the whole product for a lot of people. You know, like Kevin Hart, it's like it's his journey, like where he's going, like what he's trying to do, right?
That's what idols are, right?
Yeah.
Because they, like, when they suck a little bit, everybody really likes that.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing with gags is they use it for the rest of their lives. Right. And that's another thing that I'm really scared of. Mm. Is that correct English, that I'm really scared of?
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
That I'm afraid of? I don't know. Yeah. But that what if I made a gag and then for the rest of my life had to go around to malls in Japan and do that over and over again?
Well, that's what it was with the...
Oh, yeah. And
like, he would just get brought out.
My wife was his manager, by the way.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. But, like, he was so defined by... I forget his name.
Kojima Yoshio.
Oh, yeah.
But isn't that what a lot of comedians want here?
Yeah. It's very common. I mean, it's not just him. You know, so many people have...
Oh, yeah, everybody.
Because that's success, right?
What do you think of the geinoujin that stay dressed up? There's a few guys that just, you know, they stay dressed
up. Like in character.
Yeah.
Do you mean stay dressed up in, like, are you talking about, like, Sugi-chan-san or, like...
There's different levels. Who's the guy that kind of looks like Kiss? With the
oh, light. yeah, I know. He's not a comedian, but I know who you're talking about.
Or are you talking about the... Chikyugi motteru hito?
That's Gojasu.
Yeah.
He's in my company, too, by the way.
No.
Really nice guy.
What are you talking about?
I know who you're talking about. He's on like news shows and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes. Like really serious. Yeah.
Oh, Demon Kakka no koto? Demon Kogure?
Maybe that's it.
He's an artist.
He's on very serious shows. But he's sitting there, you know, with the full makeup, with the white face and that.
Yeah,
and
he's not a comedian though. He's an artist.
Yeah. Well, he's still a geinoujin, right? And so I'm kind of want to know what you think about, like, because there are, you know, I mean, he could be at, you know, fairly serious situations and he'll have to be in the same outfit, you know?
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. I've gotten sometimes paid for stuff that I said when I said things that I didn't agree with. And while I was doing it, I was like, if I got paid for this, I'll just do this for the rest of my life if I can get this amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's what they're thinking because, you know, they're making a lot of money. Mm. You know what I mean? Like when you're...
Selling your soul.
Yeah. But I mean... Mm. The price does matter. I mean, another thing about geinokai is you're not allowed to ask how much you're going to make, which is, for me, like just as an American, really demotivating because, you know, I would try maybe a little bit harder if I knew.
Yeah.
You know, is it $300 or 30万?
Yeah. You mean like for each gig you have no idea?
You're not allowed to ask. And it's funny because maybe if you get really famous.
Okay.
But with my level, when I do stuff.
Like, even if you ask, they won't tell you.
You have no clue how much you're going to make, and you have no clue when you're going to get it. That's really weird. And there's this thing, you know, like, I was on a TV show, really nice staff. Do you know Yamasato-san? Yamasato-san, he's...
Yama-chan?
Nankai Candies.
Yeah. I watched Terrace House, so...
So nice. Great guy. Really smart, really funny.
Mm. I love his radio show.
Oh, yeah. He's good. He's so hilarious. Funny. He's a comedic genius, but... This pay for this, I shouldn't even mention his name. He doesn't have to do with any of this. But the pay is like $40 for sometimes 15 hours or like 16, 17 hours. And the whole thing is I get offered stuff like that. I'm like, sorry, I just can't do that. It's like, you know, if it's something I wanted to do with me, there's three things. Good experience, making money, or learn something. And if I'm not going to get any of that, then I'm just going to say no.
Yeah.
And when it gets to that point, I can't do it. You know, I'm not going to work. You know, I get offers for jobs. I'm not going to do something for 15 hours when I might make like $500 doing something else.
You know? Yeah.
But you might make a huge amount of money. They won't tell you.
That doesn't happen as often. When you've been on before, you know how much you make.
But
they're like... But you never know where it's going to lead you. You know, like that's like the entertainment industry thing.
Right. Yeah.
And this is, if anybody's listening to this and wants to be on TV in Japan, I'll tell you one thing. You'll always know when something's going to lead you somewhere. Hmm. It's not going to be some random thing.
It's really easy to be exploited.
Oh, it's so easy. Because it's like, you're nothing. You're not famous. You should be really happy to be on and get the exposure.
Hmm.
But, you know, I'm kind of happy. Like, I'm doing something like kind of cool just because I can still eat with my family and do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're like totally dependent on this career, then you're
The other thing is this is like a traditional mindset to, if you do comedy, do not do anything else and people will hate you for doing anything else.
Hmm.
It's like a pride thing. And I don't care about that, obviously, at all.
There's, like, purists in Japan about that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they say it's, like, zurui to be having, like, a bat, like, something to fall back on.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But there are a lot of people that kind of become a general, you know, tarento, and they...
Yes, but they but you're always a genin, and you'll never lose the title of being a genin. Mm. Like, people have asked, like, my company's asked me, would you ever want to not do, if you're tired of the comedy, do you want to do something else? But for me, it's really lame to be called tarento, because it means you don't really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Soka. Demo tasukai naga, Atsugiri Jason toka detekita toki ni, naka, ah, kare wa jitsu wa kaisha wo ni haitete toka, sore wa nanka nihonjin janai kara, ah, naka sugoi ne, mitaina kanji de owatta kedo, sore ga nihonjin dattara...
So da ne, tabun.
I'm
really good friends with him.
I think he has listened to our show and he talked to us on Twitter a couple times,
I guess.
And then I ran into him at TBS one time and I talked to him and I actually asked him if he was interested in coming onto our show. But then I had to talk to his manager and then
he's in the best company in all of Japan. Mm. So wish I joined his company, but they're really strict with what you can do and what you can't do.
Right, right.
Mm.
So it's really difficult.
Yeah, it didn't go through.
Yeah, they won't put up with anything outside of what they do, but they take care of you well.
I feel like in Japan, there is a lot of focus on aidoru and genin, and sort of there is potential for more content within the show aside from like the personalities that are on it, you know?
For instance.
So there's a show that I like called Potsunto Ikenya.
They
look on Google Maps satellite view and they find some house that's just way out in the middle of nowhere in the forest. And then these guys are sent there. They show up, they rent a car and their job is to go find out who lives there and what they're about.
Such a good premise.
Yeah. And there's no geno on this show at all. Uh-huh. It's just whoever, I don't even know who these guys are, but just some, they barely even show up, you know, the personalities themselves. Yeah. And it's all about this person that they're going and interviewing. They don't even know who it's going to be, but it ends up, you know, being some obachan that lives by herself and has some crazy operation where she's breeding all these fish and set up like a water wheel and like it's a really interesting show.
Have to give it to Japanese creators, and I think it's much harder for them to come up with stuff like that now because TV is all quiz shows, but they're you know, Japan makes tons of money selling intellectual property for their TV shows, you know, like Shark Tank, for instance. That's a Japanese show. Tons of shows
that.
I think these companies are making so much money from selling intellectual property to the States because they're really good at thinking of kikaku that don't cost a lot of money but are really like that doesn't cost almost
it could be a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
Yeah, so yeah, and you'll see shows like that on NHK a lot that are like you know, there's not really any talent on them, but they're like wait, I'd much rather watch this than anything on.
I mean, that show there's no talent.
What channel is it?
I don't know which channel it is. Tom, but that show, you know, their budget must be so low. It's like one rental car, like two guys, you know, they have a little drone that they fly over the place so they can. So the drone like kind of follows as they're driving their little K car up to the place.
I think I've seen this show.
I love it.
Hmm.
But there aren't many shows that I appreciate like that one. But yeah, it's interesting that there's zero genoji on it.
Well, you know, when I was in college, I've always obviously liked Japan or I wouldn't have come here in the first place. And you'd see like Japanese YouTube and I'd see Kojima Yoshi and I'd see these crazy shows that were like, whoa, Japanese TV is so much better than, you know, American TV. I really want to go on this. And I worked really hard for it. And then by the time I was able to get on it, none of these shows exist anymore. It's like,
it's too risky.
Too risky. You know, you can't do anything now.
Yeah. When I was a child, it was like way wilder. Like there were boobs and you know, all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like
there are some really amazing old comedy video clips.
Like I used
Japanese
to like
TV.
I used to sneak into the living room after my parents went to bed and then like I used to watch this like erotic shows where, you know, these guys would like go near Nabuho and then interview like couples who are going in there to go and then, you know, just listen to their stories. And I don't know, like, they never do that kind of stuff anymore.
And that's made it terrible. Like, when you listen, the thing, you know, about Japan, and it's a really amazingly kind thing, maybe, too, is they listen to cream that come in.
Right.
It's so annoying. Like, I've had TV companies be like, Nick, can you not do that? Because, like, you know, we got something on Twitter. And in, like, America, they'd be like, you know, fuck you. We're going to do whatever we want.
Who's this loser?
Yeah. But here, they really, you know, and it's tons of, like, shufu who have nothing better to do. So they're
complaining about you on
Twitter. But, I mean, but it's made it so you can't do anything. Like,
right.
You really cannot do anything.
I remember I saw this show where these, they had set up this surprise at a like a ski resort where they have these paid, you got to pay like 100 yen or something, 200 yen, and then you can sit in this massage chair. And it's right next to like the onsen. So guys come out of the onsen, they only got the towel, you know, because it's in like
yeah,
the locker.
Yeah.
Only got the towel. They sit down on the, this guy sits on this massage chair, you know, he puts the coins in, starts it up. The chair starts vibrating. It turns around. The chair turns around 180 degrees. This guy's like, what is going on? The wall flips open. The massage chair has skis on the bottom, and it is released, and it goes, it leaves the building. This guy's on there with a towel. You know, they got
like
the little
blur it out or whatever.
They got the little symbol on there. Covering his dick and balls.
Yeah.
And he's flying down this mountain fast. I mean, this is like Santa's sleigh,
like,
but a massage chair.
This is like the bubble Jedi money, you know, when they can do stuff
like
that.
this guy is totally naked. He's not, I don't think he has anything to do with the show.
Yeah.
I mean, back then they were pranking people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, all
crazy.
The time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, he ended up on TV, sledding.
Every prank now is on other Gaynorian. And do you really think the managers are not going to tell them? Do you really think that anybody watching? 絶対分かってるでしょ、100%. You know what I mean? There's like no doubt about it. Mm. Yeah. I got pranked once and they didn't tell me about it. But it didn't work. The show didn't work though. They didn't air it because it just...
What did they do to you?
I had an ex-girlfriend who thought that I was really in love with her, and Fuji Terebi... some Telebi company said that she's like, they approached her and she's like, if I say I'm gonna break up with him, he's gonna cry on air. So they brought in all these like hidden cameras. I think it cost, like they said it cost, I remember because they talked to me about it, because it costed an insane amount of money, and they were like, can we reshoot it, like, or like,
because you didn't,
we didn't
cry.
End up doing it. Well, yeah, she was like, I want to break up with him. I was like, really? Okay. And I just like got my stuff and left.
Oh my god.
It went so, and they came out and they're like, yeah, chica. Just like right when I started doing.
Oh god.
I've had like three big like mess ups on TV. One was on a radio show on
TV. That wasn't your fault though.
No, that wasn't my fault. Do you know Old Night Nippon?
Yeah.
Like I was on that the first year and I'd never been on radio before, and we sat down for like 20 seconds and just didn't talk, even though it was the radio, which is like a huge...
Why didn't you say
anything? I didn't know that it started.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, they didn't tell you?
No, like I looked and there's like tons of people like waving their arms and stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, what's up, everybody?
Like that type of thing. Hosojiko.
Yeah, the other Hosojiko, which is a real one, was a show called Shibuya Deepay on NHK. It's not on anymore. And I have like, you know, I don't take any medicine or anything for it, but I have ADHD or whatever people say it is. Maybe I just have a really bad attention span.
You're American.
But I'm American. I was sitting down, and you know, a lot of the TV show, you're not talking. And I'm just sitting there, and I see the director like waving his arms. And unconsciously, I'd taken my piercing out and started smelling it.
What?
On a Namaho soba.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What did it smell like?
It smelled good. It smelled really gross and good. I liked it.
Oh my God. Do you just do that on?
I just zoned out because I didn't think they were like,
they didn't think it was like some kind of
no, they didn't think. I think they just thought I was completely out of my mind or something like that. Yeah. You know what else they do? You know, like a lot of these shows where it's like loke bangumi, where they'll like, like that restaurant looks really good. Let's go in and check it out. Obviously, 5 minutes before they said, we're going to say this and then we're going to go in and pretend you've never seen us before.
Right.
But I was on a show that didn't do that. So we really came in, and it was the worst show ever because almost nobody would let us in anywhere or talk to us anywhere. And we went, it was Yamanashiken. It was like a barber. It was a show, you know, the show where you can't, go home until somebody lets you eat at their house.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really uncomfortable the whole time because it's really kind of embarrassing to go up to people and, like, you know, infringe on them.
Over? Yeah.
So the director's like, go to that barber shop over there. And, like, I opened the door and it had, like, a genkan. So you're supposed to take your shoes off. And the cameraman didn't take his shoes off. And the barber's like, rah, rah, and, like, started, like, attacking the cameraman. It was so crazy. I've never seen a Japanese person that angry before. It was amazing.
Wow. It's like the cameraman's Japanese, right?
Yeah, he was Japanese. I took mine off, too, which is funny. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah. TVs.
So you get a lot of strange experiences.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the only thing I really got out of. And actually, maybe speaking, like, that's one thing that kind of, in Japanese and in English, that, like, I'm thankful for. But I almost regret doing a lot of what I did. I kind of wish I took a different path sometimes. Yeah.
What sort of path?
I don't know. Sometimes I wish I took a 9-to-5 job, and I'll never be able to get one now, and I'll always be hustling for the rest of my life. But, you know, you'll drink with, like, senpai who've been doing it twice as long as me, and they start crying because they just have been doing it for so long, and they, you know, never got anywhere and stuff like that. And I'm lucky because I'm a foreigner, so I always end up finding something, kind of. But, you know, a lot of these guys, and a lot of these guys are funnier than people on TV, too, but it just never worked out, you know. And luck is, you know, the biggest. You know, one of the biggest.
So you're back at school now?
Or? Yeah, I'm back at school.
What are you studying?
I'm going to write my Sotsuyo Ronbun on Manzai, on Heisei, era Manzai. And I was thinking of doing the PhD, but it looks so difficult, and I'm so busy with, because I'm doing two jobs, too. It's already busy enough right now. Actually, I don't have school now, so I'm...
It's closed.
Yeah, because it's closed. Oh, okay. I mean, it's also break, but... Okay.
Is it sociology or
no? It's global studies, studies. But it's kind of weird because nobody's ever kind of written about what I'm writing, so it's really hard to find.
Yeah, I want to read it. It sounds
I don't know if it will. I might ruin. It makes everything not funny though. That's the only problem.
When you understand, happening.
When you understand what's happening. Yeah,
I'm curious though.
Yeah, but we'll see. The English stuff goes good. I go on a lot of English people's YouTube channels. I prefer doing other people's stuff. Yeah.
Keep up with that.
How's your music? You said you started that.
Yeah, I started a band.
You play guitar.
Yeah, I play guitar and sing, and I can say with confidence that I started playing music when I was really young, and I can sing without going off key. And my songs are pretty okay. So the band is a lot more fun for me because I have full control. And
Not in an agency?
No. We'll see where it goes. But at some point, I want that to kind of take over the comedy stuff. It's, you know, indie music is really hard to make lucrative. But we're called Nick Norton and the Nasty Habits. So... Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's
your
like
your name is in the band.
Yeah. I felt bad about it because like it's like me and them, but I'm writing everything. So the band you can check. Oh yeah, and I'm on Twitter at Time Bomb Gainin. It's in
the Time Bombs.
Time Bombs in there. I can't get rid of it.
Do you have a blue check mark?
No, I did before though.
Oh, really?
I had another account with much more followers, but I had a jealous girlfriend that deleted my.
What?
This is right when I started getting on TV, too. I had a blue check. But it was kind of embarrassing because it started with, like, you know, 1,000 people. When you have a blue check mark, and it's, like, 1,000 people. Do you guys have a blue check mark? Because you guys have way more followers than me.
No, we don't.
I asked for it once. They didn't give it. No. No, it's like, we don't want it.
Really? they didn't get
No, I want it.
No, we asked for it. There's, like, the verified Twitter thing.
And yeah.
You can, like, send
Really?
They ignored that, so.
Really? What is your audience mostly Japanese people learning English? English learning Japanese or both?
Mostly Japanese people.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense because it's Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jealous girlfriend deleting your Twitter account.
That's a strong move. That was a long time ago.
That's a strong move.
Because I used to get messages from like girls on Twitter and she'd be like, I'm going to kill you. Yeah.
You mean like fans?
Or? Yeah. Or not even fans, just people who saw me, you know what I mean? Because you get that, you know.
Okay.
You got to watch out for those DMs.
Yeah, watch out for those DMs. I still get weird ones. I got somebody asking me to buy their art and it was really expensive. And I I wasn't going to buy it anyway, but I just like wanted to look at it. And it was so bad. It was like something my son could like draw. I was like, what gave you the confidence to like ask me to buy it?
Maybe your son's like an artistic
maybe
genius.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's like, yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. And people asking me to like lend them money for their wedding and stuff like that.
What?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Yeah. Now I was really mame before and I would reply to everybody. Is that the right word for that?
Wow.
Yeah. But now I don't. I reply to tweets, though, especially if they're in English. So if you are Japanese and you want to tweet in English, I'll usually reply to you.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah. Oh. So, yeah, follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's that sharp edge out there. You know?
Sometimes I want to delete Twitter, man. Sometimes I feel like if I, like, because you feel the pressure.
People delete it. You know, a lot of celebrities, at least in the States, have, you know, they freak out at some point. They're like, I got to just delete this thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's ruining my life.
Well, dude, I don't have much followers and I've been doing it for so long, but sometimes you like when you just all of a sudden lose 100 followers and you're like, why? That's what it was like with YouTube too.
And so you like pay attention to the numbers and stuff.
Yeah, I'd get demonetized for really weird things. Yeah, on YouTube. That was another reason. I thought YouTube was getting really weird. It was also a political channel.
Okay.
Not like one side or the other side, but
Say keywords.
Yeah, it affects my other jobs. Like, if you say anything political and you're a Gainesian in Japan, and you say it in Japanese, you just get...
Right.
You know, yeah, so...
Yeah, that's another thing, right? Like, there's so many, like, 暗黙の了解.
Yeah.
And, sometimes, like, I've talked about how, like, oh, on our show, on Bilingual News, we can say anything.
Yeah.
And I've... You know, some people on Twitter or something have said like, oh, demo betsuni sonna kageki na koto itte nai, betsuni taishita koto itte nai jan mitaina. But then they just don't understand like how much you cannot say normal TV or radio
or
shows. You know, like it may not sound too like kageki, but it doesn't matter. Like there are so many things. Like we have been asked to, I mean, we've been on other people's radio shows and we've been asked to cut out some of the topics. Like,
really?
Please that's don't talk about
so
it.
Lame. Don't you think that's crazy that you can't talk about something?
Yeah,
it's just the sponsors. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they want to control where the attention is because that affects what sells.
Well, one of the main things Nishino-san writes about in the book, Kakume no Fanfare, and if you're Japanese too and you just want to read something interesting, definitely read that book. He talks about... there's a difference between being famous and really well known, and most Japanese celebrities are only really well known. So, and he Becky's from my company, and he was really not bad mouthing, but he was kind of giving his, you know, frank opinion about it. So she is a talent, right? And there's when you're a talent, you're not making any shouhin. Like you guys have your own radio show that you make, so you're making something. The guy who she had that footing with, he was making music, but she's basically a slave to sponsors. Like as soon as you've ruined yourself, then you're done and everybody will turn on you and you'll become like a sacrificial lamb.
Right.
But the guy who she did it with made music. So it doesn't really matter what type of person he is. Cause people don't do it for him. They do it for the music that he's making.
Right.
And that's the problem with Japanese celebrities and sponsors. And I'm never going to let myself do that type of thing.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, it's sad, but I guess, yeah, if you're like friendly and smiley and you wouldn't say anything that's surprising or shocking to some people, right? And then you just read the kanpe all the time and do it perfectly.
There is this, whenever there's a scandal or something, the dogpiling, the witch hunt, the frankly, just exaggeration of like its significance in a sort of a national or global scale, it becomes very tabloidy. It becomes very gossipy, even on the most official channels. It becomes very gossipy. And this person hasn't even been convicted or anything. No. And then they have the camera zooming in with the scary music and the, you know, the...
What do you think about the Shakai Kaiken? It's so ridiculous. Shakai Kaiken, you know, those, they're so stupid. Those, you know, the apology, like, what is it? Shazai.
Yeah. Shazai Kaiken.
Shazai Kaiken. Yeah, yeah. That's basically Japanese reality TV shows from my perspective.
Yeah.
It's so fake. And the other thing is like with you guys and this, like, this is what you really are like, you know what I mean? But with TV, you know, that's not how anybody really is. So you're just watching like, but another theory, I don't know if this is my theory or not, but you know, Americans are really obsessed with like authenticity and like reality. Mm. And this, I'm not saying anything's better than the other. And Japan is basically like an escape to Disneyland.
Mm.
And that's why the sets are all like super colorful and stuff to get away from what's real.
Mm.
But I prefer seeing like real people hearing what they really think.
Yeah.
Like you listen to the Wide Show and it's like five experts who don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why even call them on in the first place?
They're not experts either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
For me, like...
But then people watch it, right? That's why it's still there. And so it's...
But it was, you know, this lack of authenticity, like real people having real conversations anywhere you look in Japan, was always very surreal to me.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, part of the reason for doing this in the first place. Because there's just like everything so produced.
Yes.
I just... Yeah. The producing thing, it just grosses me out, you know.
I think that's why there are a lot of radio fans here, right? Like even for famous people like Yamachan tokamoso, like they're famous, but then like on TV and on their radio shows they're like different people.
Yeah, yeah, like, where they're a little bit more like themselves, but it's not like this, right? But also in general, you know how I went to Europe last week? I went to Holland, which the second time I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I remember I said I'd love to live here, and the second time I was like, wow, I know why I wanted to live here. This place is so cool. And there's a thing with Japan where there's well-manneredness and politeness, but without the kindness, kind of, I noticed. And I noticed more like maybe not always politeness there or in America, but there's like genuine kindness sometimes. Mm. And I kind of miss that when I... And I mean, obviously it happens in Japan too, but everything's so like tatemae, you know, like you can't just know the real person, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. They're not even available.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're checked out.
Yeah.
You know, it's the working version that's here right now.
Yeah.
You know, so if you go to a store and you're like, you're asking about, you know, you want to maybe buy a jacket or something and you're talking to the person there, you know, usually it's the working person that's there. And the real person is not accessible, like even slightly. But in the States, you know, you can start talking about real stuff and have like a genuine moment, like right there with someone that you don't know. And it's much rarer here.
They might suck too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It could be a genuine shitty moment.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But at least it's
like,
real.
What an asshole that
they yeah. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And there's good things about Japan too, because at least you know you're going to get somebody saying something nice to you at the convenience store every single time you go. But still, sometimes I would just like to say, hey, how's it going? You know, like stuff like that. Mm.
Do you think it'll ever change like that?
I don't think it will. I don't know how
it's changing a little bit, though.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
That's the direction it's heading, although we haven't seen much of it yet, I feel like.
Do you think there's going to be an Olympics or no?
Probably not on time.
I don't see how. But they said it was going to be. They were going to go through with it, right?
Yeah, but it's just unrealistic, right? Yeah. I mean, it's already March, mid-March, and... I mean, there are so many countries that are banning Japanese people.
Yes.
So, like, how are they going to, like, send people here and then bring them back home? Like, I just don't know how that's going to work.
Right now, the CDC says no groups of more than 10 people.
Yeah.
The Olympics, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. I saw somebody's tweet on Twitter. It was just a normal person. They're like, maybe the reason Japan is going to do the Olympics is because they know no other country is going to come, so they'll just all win by default.
Well, Tokyo is going to get a lot of financial damage if...
Oh, man.
If they're going to do it without the audience or something,
then
we're all fucked.
Dude, yeah.
So
the stock market, man, has been just dumping.
Well, the last big... Wild. Is it pandemic? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was like 10 years ago. I think it was SARS, right?
I don't even know if it was a... Was it a declared a pandemic?
Maybe it was just an epidemic. It wasn't like this. Maybe it was an epidemic. Mm-hmm. But I was too young to worry about financial stuff, and about how it's going to affect the economy or affect what I make or something like that.
Yeah.
But this time it's just like that. There's that too, which is like, being old sucks because you have to think about that type of stuff.
Yeah. There's like real consequences when you're old, man, you make a mistake.
Yeah.
Your people you care about out on the streets. Yeah. Who knows?
You were always teaching remotely, right?
Teaching
on camera, like. When you teach English?
Yeah, yeah. So that
even matter. From
But I'm just before. Talking about like stock stuff and stuff
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah. Or like the American dollar, like it went down really low.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Did you see that? I was like freaking out, but whatever.
Well, this has exceeded, you know, the last financial. I don't think there's been a move at this sharp in the stock market in our lifetimes.
That's
has there?
So crazy. Yeah. Probably
I don't
not.
Think there
Probably
has.
Not.
No.
You know, 2011 wasn't this bad. So.
And it's not just regional, right? It's
basically oh, yeah, it's the whole
the
world.
Entire world.
Yeah. It's the whole world. Europe is really getting smashed, obviously. No.
What's China like?
I mean, economy.
I'm assuming that's who you ask. They say it's chilling.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if their economy's.
They're like, oh, there's like 6 new infections today.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I'm like,
I don't believe right. any of that.
No. That seems a bit low.
No way. No way.
It seems a bit low.
Yeah, everything's been pretty crazy, but.
It's so yeah. wild, right? You turn on the TV, you turn the news, Twitter, anything you look at right now is just coronavirus.
Yeah, yeah. So like we
it's a bit overwhelming.
We recorded a normal episode before you came uh-huh. here. And so like yesterday I was trying to look for topics and it's so hard to find something that's not about corona. Because yeah. like
it's all the indirectly.
Because all the papers that are not essentially about corona, they mention corona.
Yeah.
To get like attention.
Well, I keep wondering how the Hong Kong protests are during this because now we don't hear about that at all.
Cancelled
well,
by
no,
corona.
Yeah, cancelled. Postponed.
Protests. Conspiracy theories already are brewing in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been
Are you
crazy.
A conspiracy theorist at all? Or would you? I would say that I have some beliefs that the general public would consider conspiratorial in some way.
I'd say me too. I'd definitely say me too.
And there's definitely open questions that the general public doesn't think are open, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you know anything about like MK Ultra or something like that, you can't just dismiss everything, right? Because some of all the crazy theories turned out to be true, then.
Well, I'm not even like the idea that China might have let people come out on purpose is not even like out of the question for me yet.
Really?
No.
Huh.
No, I don't know. I don't, I'm open to that possibility. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist.
Well, you know that, I think it was SARS, but, some of what happened with SARS was the accidental release of the SARS disease that they actually had in their laboratory. And that resulted in outbreaks. And so, I think maybe the original instance was organic, but there was certainly a case where SARS leaked from a laboratory in China. I mean, that's pretty well documented.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But you probably can't talk about that in China.
Yeah, you probably can't talk about a lot of things in China.
But people have been talking about how you can't talk about things about China outside of China, like in the United
States. Can. Yeah, of course. I mean, this is secondhand news for me, so I like don't take it as news. But I mean, I heard that after something that Trump said, like the Chinese virus, China said we're not going to provide you with vaccine if there's a vaccine from or medicines from China or something like that. I don't know if that really happened, but dude. Yeah. This is so great. This is such a crazy time.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's
well,
all
sure.
this coming?
I mean, with all the technologies and everything, we were always like, since last year, like, oh, next year is going to be even crazier, but not like this. Like,
yeah.
Not in this crazy. Direction. So it's definitely.
Well, like I was like strange. Really disappointed with the selfishness with toilet paper that happened here. And then you see what's going on in the States, which is like way worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just,
to some extent, it's a natural like animal behavior,
it
right?
Is.
Like,
yes.
Because like, even if you are aware that the stocks are not like in shortage or anything, like, you know, if you know that people are going to go buy everything, then you would assume that you should probably go too.
Yeah.
Well, so the government's like, oh, it's fine. There's going to be, you know, tissues and toilet paper and sanitizer and stuff in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the people that went out and bought extra, they were right. And all, you know, so like there's all this talk about DEMA.
Yeah.
You know, this DEMA that it's going to, that toilet paper が なくなる DEMA.
Yeah.
Calling that DEMA, isn't that DEMA?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was true.
Yeah.
And, you know, if someone has some brilliant idea of how we can prevent that from happening, you know, I'm all for it. But yeah. until then, it's just true. It's not
yeah,
demo.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not demo. It's true. Yeah. There's not going to be, you know, hand sanitizer. Find some hand sanitizer or a mask right now. You can't. So.
Yeah, and I feel like just how, like, TV programs talked about it all the time. Like, oh, like, toilet paper, neither is to God. Like, that's going to make everything worse, if not better. Well, so.
And I say something super conspiracy theory type of thing that I heard from somebody else.
Yes, please.
And don't take this as news. And I'm not saying anything bad about the Japanese government, but there's a guy I know who he sells hospital equipment, mm-hmm. and they were told to not go near this one certain hospital, and that it's just completely overrun with coronavirus, and that they're not, like, everybody that is being taken there, and not, it's not reported. I mean, almost like, you know, like what they're doing in China. I don't know if that's true at all.
But could be. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that, like, a lot of doctors on Twitter that used to fight fake news and, like, talk about, you know, misinformation and whatever, like, suddenly with Corona, I see that a lot of them have weird agenda and they kind of stop, I don't know, like, respecting science in a way. And
here in America?
Here.
What are they saying?
I don't know. It's just like they have their own position, right? They take their own position, like whether it's about testing. Like, for example, like one doctor is like, oh, we shouldn't do more tests. The other doctor is like, we should do more tests. And that's fine. But like, なんかそのポジションを守るためになんかこう間違えた情報でもいいやみたいな感じで急にジャンプしてなんか今までずっと冷静だったのになんかいきなりお互いをアタックし始めたりとかなんかで事実はもうどうでもいいやみたいな、
There's so much contradicting information.
It's crazy. So much crush.
So much. Yeah. Mask, no mask, alcohol, no
the
alcohol.
The thing with the mask is, like, they, people just don't wear it right, though. Like, I was walking down the street the other day, like, and there's a Saturday man with a mask on. He walks by me, he pulls it out, goes, and then puts it back on. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
Well, I had there was, like, from TEPCO, someone came to my place doing, like, homo, and they're explaining this whole merging the Gauss Dai and Denki Dai and whatever, and it's like a 1 hour explanation. And Saigo ni, because he seemed kind of suspicious, like symptoms.
Wait, because it's you. Because it's you?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, what do you mean? You thought he was suspicious or he thought you
were? I thought he...
Okay.
And he wasn't wearing a mask.
Okay.
And so at the end, I asked him, do you have a mask? And he's like, oh, arimasu. And he pulls it halfway out of his pocket. I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's just carrying it around. And then he explains that he takes it off when he actually interacts with people. So he wears it to each, and then he goes and knocks on each door, right? Because they're doing this all around the country. And as a policy, they take the mask off before they talk to people.
That's so
stupid. So if one of these guys from TEPCO, this is TEPCO, this is the government. You know, the government has people contracted going out there and specifically taking their mask off and going door to door to door to do this whole gasdai denkidai thing. It's just crazy. Just leave the mask on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the other thing, this is like just irony to me, and it's kind of like my comedian brain, is when I see guys with masks go to the like smoking area of Shibuya and they like pull it off, they just smoke. It's like, you're going to kill yourself anyway. You might as well just leave it off the whole time. You don't need it.
It's weird. Yeah.
No, they don't want to get the virus because their lungs are weak.
That's true. Yeah.
So you say your kids' schools are closed.
Yeah, kids' schools are closed. Mm. They're closed.
Nick の子供見たことある?
I think so.
超かわいいよね。
ね、
超かわいいよ。
Yeah,
it's so crazy when you have kids. Just life changes so
much. You know, like, I ran into Matt, like, later last year or something.
He was on here too, right?
Yeah. I ran into him at my son's daycare. And then I ran into you once at some international school.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh God, like, I run into my old friends at these, like, parent-y places now. Like, I feel old.
Yeah.
It's not like we run it's into each fair, other in Roppongi or anything. Yeah.
Well, like, I'll see, like, other people my age, and, I'm like, oh, man, I really hope, and they have kids, and I'm like, I hope I'm not like them. Like, I hope I'm, like, I don't. Also,
what do you mean?
I don't know.
Are you like an insecure
parent? I just don't want to be like boring. That's right. You become really boring, and I already have a like pretty crazy life. Even like you know when you're not doing comedy stuff, when you're hanging out with comedians and stuff, it's pretty wild anyway. So,
were you worried that becoming a parent could make you boring?
Yeah. Well, it did.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, it did. I noticed like when you have the same routine over and over again, it's really hard to come up with material.
But you need the routine for the efficiency.
Yeah. You need the routine for the efficiency. But I mean, like, it ends up, you end up making jokes about being like a dad or something.
Dad jokes. Yeah. Literal dad jokes.
Yeah. Literal dad jokes. And I couldn't get laughs. I couldn't get laughs at that really. Yeah. But like for me, like if you want to be funny or entertaining, just like from my like experience, have a really good memory so you remember stories, have a strong opinion, which is like what this show, like, or not, just an opinion on something, and that's what I think TV shows in Japan lack.
And being able to express your opinion.
Yeah, express what you think about
a lot of people struggle
on.
With that.
Yeah, that's the thing that I have trouble teaching high school students, because there's essays where you have to state your opinion on something, like what do you think about AI? You know, you think it's going to take people's jobs away and that it's a negative thing, or there's going to be new innovations. And a lot of them can't write anything besides what's already been written in the thing. And I'm always just like, have you ever lied before? Just lie. Just like make up something that you think. It doesn't need to be true. It's not like an academic paper. You could just make it up and just practice making your own opinion.
Yeah.
We all start like that when we're kids, you know, someone asks you like, what's your favorite color? It's like, orange.
Yeah.
And then next week you'll say something different.
Right? Yeah.
I think the thing is like in Japan, people don't ask you these questions. So you're not used to, like I used
to. You need instructions.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I used to teach English too for baito. And then I would ask simple questions like, what do you like to eat? Or, you know, what movies do you like? And it's not a language issue. It's just that people are not used to.
It's a teaching style issue.
These questions. And they're like,
well, you can't conform if you don't have instructions.
Well, the thing, like from my experience at least, and like when I say like I'm teaching, it's not like I'm a teacher, you know what I mean? This is like a completely different, it's almost really close to like the, not entertainment industry, but you're getting kids to be able to pass these tests and not be bored out of their minds.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? It's important.
Yeah, it's really important. But the thing is, with American education, it's all output and it's obnoxious because the kids don't shut up. And in Japan, it's all input and there's no output at all. And you just say something.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's, I think it's related to why there's less entrepreneurship here and less successful startups, because that's a kind of a high pressure, creative, you know, it's what are you trying to do, right? Like, what are you trying to do?
Yes.
And
that's why I liked Sophia, because, I mean, I went to a normal Japanese school up until then, and no one asked me any questions. And you're not supposed to question your teacher.
Yeah.
Or you're not supposed to talk during the class. You're just, you're supposed to just sit there and listen, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I first saw, like, so I started seeing students at Sophia who would, like, question teachers when they think that, you know, the teacher said something wrong or whatever, and the teacher would not get offended, and they were like, oh, okay, you know, and if he doesn't know the answer, he'll just say that, and he's like, he's gonna be like, oh, then I'll check it by next lesson, and you know, I'll get back to you. And I was so impressed, like, wow.
Well, I mean, Sophia's like really open. But I've seen things with Sophia that like Joe Rogan will talk about universities in America, and it's like a complete mirror of them. So you can't really sometimes express yourself.
Yeah.
Like I hold back a lot of the time because I don't want to be, I'm afraid of, I'll be punished for saying what I really think.
But. Yeah. There's definitely all kinds of like weird teachers and classes too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, how do you play the game?
Yeah.
You know, but still have your dignity and in your individuality. But, you know, so if you have some problem with a teacher, you kind of have to sell out your individuality to get the grade you need to get.
Yes.
Right.
I'm just so surprised at how big Marxism, and I'm not saying this as a conspiracy theorist, because it's not a conspiracy theory. It's, you know, they teach, what is it, critical theory or something like that?
Critical thinking, I think?
No, critical thinking is something different. And a lot of parents think what you're learning is thinking, mm-hmm. but it was like a neo-Marxist group that brought this like thinking process in. Mm. And it's called critical theory. You should look it up. I mean, and some of the guys were really smart, actually. And I'm like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I agree with this guy. But it's just really weird how Marxist-y the university system is, probably mm-hmm. all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different in Japan either. It's really strange, actually.
And where did that come out of, like, the Soviet Union?
No,
like
it came out of Germany, I think. Hmm. They escaped Germany and they moved to L.A. They were called the Frankfurt School.
Is this related to the whole eugenics movement that was in California?
I'm not sure.
Like, prior to World War II?
But, I mean, and I'm not going to get into my, like, weird opinions and stuff like that, but it's...
Please, you know, get in your...
Well, it's just, like... just there's, like, some systematic...
If we can find a way to get you in even more trouble.
Yeah, I get it. there, like, basically, it's... The whole point is finding some systematic oppression in everything.
Mm. Mm. Right.
And I won't even deny that there's probably some systematic oppression in some things, mm-hmm. but definitely not to the extent where, like, some of these academic... Have you seen that? I think they were on, actually... Sorry, I keep mentioning Joe Rogan, but
there's
three academics that, like, made fake articles about... Did you...
I think I did see that. They had created some word salad-y thing and had it peer-reviewed, and it was totally... Just went straight through.
Yeah, it's like we should start training men like dogs. That was
all. Oh, yeah.
And then they also just rewrote Mein Kampf, but changed it to like something. I forgot what it was. But
some gender related.
Yeah, some gender related thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And you could literally write that probably and get a good grade. Sometimes I feel.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't understand a lot of the. You know, there's what do they call it? This sort of post. Modern linguistics it's just a bunch of it seems word salad-y unless you've been, you know, getting a degree in that.
But a lot of it's just bullshit and it's bad writing. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. I mean, well, I've read stuff that your writing sucks. Nobody understands what you're writing and you're using words that nobody understands to make yourself sound smart. This sucks bad.
There is a bunch of definitely, any like scientific research that's politically motivated, there's such a low quality.
But there's so much of it, though. That's the thing.
There's a ton, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many like sketchy journals now, too.
Oh, so. Dude, they're so sketchy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to even... Okay. You guys, somebody can get mad at me if they like this article. But we were reading a story, and I really hope the person that shared it in class isn't listening to this because it will make them feel bad. But the title of the article is like, it was a story that had nothing to do with queer studies. And, you know, I have nothing, you know, I'm completely for gay marriage, everything like that. But the title of the article is The Anus is a Grave. Or no, it was The Rectum is a Grave. And somehow she used that academic article to like analyze something completely different. Mm. And like just the title of that makes no sense at all. Like I was, me and like another girl in class just like looked at each other. I don't even know where we were trying not to laugh. But it's just like, you know.
The anus is
weird.
Whatever.
What do you make of just to get you into even more trouble?
Yeah.
Just politics in general in the last, you know, 5 years or so. I mean, things got really crazy. Leading up to 2016, and it kind of has stayed pretty crazy.
It has stayed pretty crazy. So, comedically, this is, like, the best time to, like, be alive. Yeah, I don't want to get too into politics, but, I mean, you know what? Only thing I care about politics is when people can just disagree with each other and talk about it and not accuse each other of being racist or accuse each other, you know what I mean? It's just, like... Can't you just disagree with each other and like, you know, you know, before 2016, I felt like it was easier to do that now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think what all developing humans and all humans are developing need is a soundboard, right? Hopefully.
Yeah.
Is some kind of soundboard. You know, you need to get feedback. You need to be able to say the wrong things. You need to be able to work through all this stuff. And with the internet, we've all sort of been atomized and you can't make mistakes. You just get destroyed if you make mistakes or say the wrong thing. And I'm sure I've brought stupid ideas all the way to my current age right now.
Yes.
But what I was doing is I would go on the internet and I'd argue with people on the internet. I would say horrible things. Yeah. I had worse, you know, I would have terrible ideas. Other people would have terrible ideas. But on the internet, we're all on the same playing field.
Yeah.
And you just throw it all together. You just battle it out. And then the best ideas will win, period. That's how evolution works. And so if you have that free exchange and that chaos in the idea world, you know, when you're young, then I think that's really beneficial for your development. But if you're just told what to think, this is the politically correct thing to think from the beginning, and you don't question it, you know, you could rebel against that later. You don't have a strong foundation for it, you know? So as we get, you know, a little bit more distant and use more technologies and stuff, it's like that soundboard feedback, you know, you need someone to tell you, like, dude, that's really dumb.
Uh-huh. And aren't you allowed to change your mind after you thought something stupid?
Yeah, but definitely. Now it's like you flip-flop or, oh, you were wrong. Yeah. You were wrong like 5 years ago. What an idiot.
Yeah, to me it's...
Like, we're all children. I really believe that adults are children and we're all, we all play, role play.
Yeah, and to me it's super 当たり前 that our opinions change over time.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and I talk about it here too, and I get messages from people that are like, oh, なんていうの、その意見が変わったって言えるのすごいですねとか, but it's supposed to be like that, and it's supposed to be accepted, right? Because otherwise, what's going to happen? Like, I mean,
well, when I did my political thing on YouTube last year, and it was getting good traction, the problem was I'm pretty conservative. I'll just put it out right here. But I was getting a lot of really conservative Japanese people who wanted me to say things that they thought.
Hmm.
And if I didn't say what they thought, then like I get bashed for it. Or like if I would call something, like, for instance, I did a video about, you remember the Korea, Reda Shosha? Do you remember that? It was huge. Yeah, yeah. It was huge news. The Korean ship locked on to the Japanese plane.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's pretty good evidence for it. And I was not talking about Korean people. But then when all the comments end up becoming about, like on a DNA level, it's like, I can't deal with, like...
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like... it's kind of weird because I feel like in... America, it's like a lot of, like, the biggest voices are like liberals on Twitter, but in Japan it's like this, the opposite. Like Netuyo.
Yeah.
And
I don't follow the Japanese political Twitter too much,
but. Well, I ended up having to do that, and I'm not gonna, like, you know, I would say in the video, like, before the video I'd have to warn, like, I don't want any racism. But then at that point, I just don't want to do the video anymore. Screw it. Right. I have to, like...
Hey, why do we got to say stuff like
that? Yeah.
To drag.
Yeah. So...
You can just maybe close the comment section.
I should have closed. But, I mean, people like to comment.
No, people will shit on you from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You close the comment section.
Yeah.
Some people are just really aggressive. And I don't know. Yeah, like, if you... Here, it's kind of like... It's almost like a religion, so...
Yeah, well, it's like in the States, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true. I mean, it doesn't matter what this guy does or says. It's like, you are in or not, and...
Well, it's like that with Trump supporters, too, a lot of the time. Like, they'll agree with, like, anything or, like, you know, defend anything that he does or says, you know?
Yeah. Like, someone emailed us thinking that... They somehow thought that I was a Trump supporter.
Oh, really?
Because I said...
That was super interesting.
Yeah, so I said...
I was like...
Really? They caught that?
I'm like...
So, how could you think that from listening to this show? I'm always...
So,
you're always like, man, she's so far left.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm always thinking, like, God, I would get into so many arguments.
So, like, Trump tweeted a video of Bloomberg like, licking his fingers and, like, it's gross.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I said, I agree with Trump. It's gross.
Yeah.
And this person thought that I was a Trump supporter.
Oh, God, so dumb. But, I looked on, like, reviews for one of your... Because you guys have reviews, and it was like, this is way too far left wing, this show. And I was like, what are you talking about?
It depends which language they're in. I don't know if you've noticed, but the ones in Japanese say that she's way too liberal. And then the ones in English are saying that I'm like a Trump supporter.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like split in the languages
yeah.
that it's like where people are coming from, they see different things.
That's so crazy.
Well, because I mean, like, for example, so I was in Paris for the presidential election.
Yeah.
And people were trying to explain to me, like, so there's Mélenchon and, you know, Macron. And so I was like, oh, so Mélenchon is like Bernie Sanders. And they're like, no, Bernie is like right.
Really?
Compared to Mélenchon. So in each country, it's the left and right are like the extreme is like the level is definitely different. Right?
My best friend here is a Russian lesbian, and she's super right wing. Like, I mean, we get along really well but with Russia on the side of Russia, Russia's just so right wing that like she's super left wing in Russia. So it really depends on
they
don't want gay people getting married. You know, they're making all these. You know what I mean? So it's like.
Well, culture moves at different speeds and different directions all over the world. So
we kind of
assume that the whole world adopts the same morality as whatever's in Hollywood or whatever's in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, because it's what we see like standardizes the in the media, in the TV shows, everything else. So
yeah, so I guess that's why like people think that I'm too left and
a Trump supporter.
And a Trump supporter, and Michael is not like left enough or like almost rightist because he doesn't.
You know what's kind of weird though? And I think you guys are able to do this, and I'll never be able to do this. I think if you're not, because you're part Japanese and you're Japanese, if you're not Japanese, you'll never understand Japanese people fully. At least just from my experience. Like, I'll always, and it's nothing against Japanese people, it's just such a big cultural gap that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange country. Yeah. I mean, I mean, I was born here and I grew up here, and I almost always forget how weird this country is, like from the outsider's point of view. Like, but when I really think about it, it's like, yeah, this is a weird place to be, and you know, the culture is really weird.
Well, it's so ingrained, you know. It's so and so many cool things about Japan. You know, it's such a cool place too. You know what I mean? And the food is so good, but
yeah,
you don't want to sound like you've just been ragging on
Japan. Yeah, man, Japan kicks ass.
I mean, that's why you're here to begin with. But like,
you care about how these problems in the country, and you have a unique perspective to sort of highlight what's going on.
Yeah,
here. And you know, you've been around in those circles, and without you talking about it, you know, you can kind of wonder how long these sorts of things can persist for, because everyone just folds into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get these comments too, but like,
if you ever call me back on, I'll bring this, because I'm sure the copyright is already gone from it, so we could read it. Do you know who Hiraga Gennai is? He was like an inventor in Japan. He's basically like the Benjamin Franklin of Japan. And he was gay, and he I think might have been a priest, I forgot. But he wrote these, dude, it's so crazy. He was basically writing stand-up comedy in the Edo period, and you read it and you're like, how did, like, it's not to sound like a dick, but I feel like it's like more advanced than comedy now. And he wrote a thing called The Theory of Farting. And it's basically about how actually, I could just talk about it now. It's about him in the city. And do you know there was a thing called a fartist?
What?
Like, I think it was all around the world. It was like an art form where people would like fart and make like impersonations.
Do you know what that's called in Japanese?
I don't know what it's called in Japanese. But the name of it's called
Fartist.
I think it's Hohiriro. Is the name of that.
Hohiriro. Wow. Okay.
And it's him talking. So he thought it was the most amazing thing he's ever seen, because he's never seen it before. And he's talking with a Confucius samurai. It's an essay about this, with a Confucius samurai. And the samurai is like, this is completely like valueless garbage. And then basically Gennai retorts by talking about how Japanese arts can, you know, like, he says things like, you know, tea ceremony practitioners are still licking 2-century-old turds of Sennori-gyu and like stuff. Like, it's all like really funny, but it's like really spot on and really good observational comedy. It's so interesting. You could probably find it online one day, but check it out.
How'd you come across that?
At university, because I'm just looking at funny things throughout the history of
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. One thing I feel like all living people tend to sleep on is how freaking smart people were way back. It blows my freaking mind.
Or how close we are now. I mean, how we haven't changed that much.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like people say things that are so contemporary, you know, like hundreds of years ago. And it's pretty mind-blowing. Mm. Obviously, most of the stuff we're operating on, like, Darwinism, like stuff like that, Newton's laws, like all that stuff is super, super old, and it's all correct. It's all like the original thinking. It's mind blowing.
Yeah,
and we just show up, and it's like, how does a toaster work? I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know. How
to was there a lot of comedy stuff in the ghetto?
No, but there's really funny thing. You know, like Ihara Saikaku. Like his stuff is really deep and really funny.
Okay.
But I think Hiraga Genda is like the funniest, one of the funniest things I've ever. I've got really obsessed with farts in Japanese literature. So I'm looking at all these like old like poems that are like really funny. What? Like what was it? There's some real haiku. You know, like not haiku, but like Japanese poems that like were supposed to be funny. You know, like. A fart while no one's home is a waste or something like that. Because nobody else will hear it or something like stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. There's some really funny stuff and some really funny things like a geisha or not. It was like a courtesan, I guess, farted in front of her like customers and was so embarrassed. She tried to like commit seppuku or something like that. Like only in Japan would something like that happen.
Oh my God.
I think
that's interesting.
Seppuku is really funny too because like back like in like the reason it's funny is because have you ever read like Chushinguro or anything
like that?
Like, you know, the person who did something bad, you don't like kill them, you like commit seppuku, like look what you did to me and you like kill yourself. It's, you know, it's like what? But
it's many levels.
Yeah, many levels. Many levels.
Many levels to seppuku.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean like people people here can get really intense, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's not really the image that we're selling to the world. Like, oh, we're like conformists and we're really chill and we like kawaii, you know, like kind of stuff. But then if you read history stuff, we're fucking intense.
Have you heard of the Sakai incident? So it's an incident. I forgot when it was. It may be in the 18th century, 17th century. Some French sailors came to Sakai in Osaka. Hmm. And they got out and they started being like gaijin and roppongi, like drinking alcohol, like touching women's boobs, like grabbing stuff. And I don't think they were samurai, but they were like guards. Hmm. And they were like, hey, stop that. And one of the drunk French sailors grabbed, I think, like his battle flag and started running towards the boat. Hmm. And they started chasing him. And I think one of the French guys shot at the samurai, missed, but I shouldn't say samurai, like the guard. Hmm. And the guard shot him and killed him. Hmm. And maybe somebody else died. Anyway, this is like, I think, when Japan opened up their borders. So the government was like, this is going to be a huge international incident if we don't, like, punish these samurai. So they call all the samurai and they call all the French sailors and like a really high up guy, and they sentence these, I think, as many people like that they shot, they sentenced the same amount to seppuku. And and the French people were going to watch them, and you know, they all actually go through with it, like pulling their innards out. And the French guys are like, okay, stop. You don't have to do this. Just let them go. And like halfway through, the French guys told them to like,
Jesus.
Yeah. That's like how intense Japanese people were. Yeah.
I mean, I was reading about how like Showa Tenno, Showa Emperor, like was supposed to go to some event or whatever, and one of the police officers made a mistake and guided the car into the wrong street or something, and he tried to kill himself
because he guided him as self-punishment
and he stabbed his throat, and he survived. But the thing is, this is about Showa Tenno, so I was born.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's crazy.
So I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, especially, like, before the war, like,
Japan
was super intense.
Yeah.
I think there's a theory about why there's been a dramatic change in the masculinity of just men in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And the theory goes that the previous generation, sort of the boomers or the the bubble people, they worked all day, worked all the way until night, and would come home late. And the children were raised by the mothers, and so all the our generation, millennial men in Japan, have become feminized because they're all raised by their mothers, and they don't have a real father figure. And it was because of the work culture that developed after the bubble.
That makes so much sense. I don't know if you remember this, but I have a good memory. In our sociology class, we were issued a book called Permissive Desires. Do you remember that or no?
No. Wow. You do have a great memory.
It was about that almost, actually. And really? There was these weird like sexual fantasies of like mothers like relieving their children's like sexual stress because all they were doing was studying at home while the fathers were gone and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a few levels deeper than
I think it was called Permissive Desires. I'm pretty sure.
I wish I could go back to school and retake all the classes that I forgot about.
Well, I have to say, and I'm just taking a master's, so I'm not taking PhD, because PhD is a big deal, you know what I mean? Mm. But it's really interesting, and you learn so much. And when you're like our age and you do it, you care more about the learning aspect of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
How much did you care when you were?
I was interested, but I didn't care. You know what I mean? I wanted to get through it, and I still do want to get through it, but like I can chill with my teacher and talk with him on an adult because I don't know. I think a lot of people are better than me, but I was an idiot till I was like 28. So
I'm the same. I'm the same though. I feel like I was really stupid.
Oh, like, so dumb. I'll like remember what I was like in my 20s before I go to sleep and just start sweating. I'm so embarrassed by myself. Yeah.
I just feel like I grew up in a society or an environment where being smart was not it didn't come with incentives.
Yeah.
Like it was looked down upon by my friends or, you know, like, oh, you're a nerd, you're kind of lame or something. And I'm a girl. Like, I don't need to be able to study. Like, that kind of got kooky.
It's really strange. Speaking of women, there's some parents in my son's class. He goes to an international school.
Mm.
And I was talking to one of the parents, the dad. I've never met him before. I never see him with the kids.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, yeah. So your son goes to this international school. What about your daughter? And he's like, oh, women don't need to know English, so we just sent her to the normal Japanese school. I was like, whoa, this dude's like...
Was that a joke?
No, he was dead serious. I was like, whoa.
But you know, actually, like... So after I had my son, I was like, okay, like, I want to send him to a nice international school.
Yeah.
It's super expensive.
Yeah.
I might want another kid.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, if it's a boy, then he has to go to the same school. It's going to be so expensive. If it was a girl, then maybe she can go to some like lesser school. And I was like, I'm a sexist. Like, I have internalized it.
I found your guys' next T-shirt. I'm a sexist.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize that. Like, after I thought about it and I was like, wait, why is it okay for my daughter to go to a shittier school?
Yeah.
Like, it's weird that I thought that, but
it's a probability thing, and you're extrapolating from the past, right? So if you look at the past and the probability that your son would need to be sort of the breadwinner.
Yeah, the breadwinner.
Is higher than it is for your daughter. So there's the risk is different because of our cultural standards, not because
God
of your
damn
internal
Trump
values.
Supporter.
I know, it's horrible, right?
Just like some... and how, like, my grandma wasn't allowed to go to school because she was a girl and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, it's all in my head, right?
Yeah.
So subconsciously, I just thought... And I was like, oh, my God, this is so horrible.
But
so now
to,
I
know,
but...
To your actual daughter, they may not care about that risk assessment. They may not care. You know, it would feel like just sexist to your daughter as an individual, even though you're sort of looking at the population saying that they're just a person that lives in this society. And these are the risks involved. And so you'd manage the risk. You want your son to have like more of the breadwinning capability. And you don't care if your son's kawaii as much.
Right. But as a parent, like, you don't know how the society is going to be when they're older. So I should automatically in an ideal world, I should automatically want the best for both of them, whether it's a girl or a boy, right? But then that wasn't really something that naturally happened in my head. So I surprised myself, like, whoa, what did I just do?
Well, our realism and our idealism are always conflicting.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess.
And idealism doesn't manage risk as well as realism does. Mm-hmm. So when you have yoyu, you're more idealistic, I think.
Right.
You know, oh, I have enough money for both of my kids to just go to the best school or whatever, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Also, just to make you feel a little bit better, if you do send them to those, just remember the colleges here are so much cheaper than they are in the States almost makes
well,
up.
If they want
not
to
if Bernie Sanders
here.
Wins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not if
yeah,
Bernie
yeah.
Sanders wins.
Everything will be free, I forgot.
Yeah. Don't forget.
Yeah. Are you going to vote? Is it how complicated is it to vote from here?
It's kind of a pain in the butt.
Oh yeah,
it's an absentee ballot. It's not counted unless all the military ballots are counted.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They do not count. They've never counted mine.
Really?
So yeah, because
not count.
It's not going to count unless they also crack open all the other absentee ballots.
There's
they don't
no way that that's going
to
happen.
They don't go to the absentee ballots until they've counted everything else, and it's got to be like really close, and then they'll go to then they'll
really?
Count it.
That's
so they,
crazy.
Yeah, they don't count it.
All right, so there's no real point then, huh?
Well, because it includes
state,
the military,
too.
It's conservative. So the absentee ballot vote tends to trend conservative because it's mostly military that's overseas.
Huh.
Yeah. So if you were submitting an absentee ballot that was, you know, for a Democrat candidate, it may not really, there may not be a point because they wouldn't count it unless it was super close. And then if it's super close to count it, it's going to lean conservative. So, you know, it's kind of a foregone conclusion because the military, they don't have anything better to do than send their absentee ballots in. So, yeah, at least that's what's happened in the last few.
Huh. I've never paid attention. I would vote, but you kind of made me not feel like I need to.
Yeah, so I stopped voting. I didn't vote in the last one. I didn't vote in the one before that either.
Uh-huh.
People get really mad if you say you didn't
vote. Yeah.
People get really mad.
Yeah, they
do. That's a whole nother political
party. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They'll like pull on both of your arms.
Yeah.
Come
yeah.
Vote this vote. Vote.
Yeah. Or if you voted for this person that will never win, so you made it so that person can't win. Yeah. Yeah,
vote Nader.
Yeah.
Nader every time.
Yeah, anyway.
But it's coming up, right?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I tend to think of everything in money. So we'll see how the stock market is. And then we'll, like, right now it looks like, from my perspective, that Trump would win again. But if the stocks stay like they are now, you don't know, you know.
I think if the stock market does badly, it'll be Trump's fault. But I think people would be scared.
You mean
scared,
you think it will actually be Trump's fault, or do you mean it will be put, the blame will be put
well,
on Trump?
Well, it's not actually Trump's fault.
Yeah,
he didn't create the virus.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe he could have done more. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
That's going to be a historical sort of assessment.
Yeah.
But, I've been saying that he's pretty much going to get reelected.
Oh, how can he not? There's, I don't
well,
see how.
We've, there,
yeah, well,
there's some surprises.
With him. Yeah.
That's what everyone was saying the other way.
That's true.
Right?
And that's very true.
I said that I thought Trump was going to be elected. People said I was crazy. And then it was like, have you seen the polls?
Yeah, I didn't
it's
think
like less than 1% chance.
There's any way
he was I was like, he's going to get elected.
Well, I mean, yeah. Then you realize how crazy the news is in America.
Mm.
You know what I mean? How off they are. They were so off about this coronavirus, too.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like they were saying it's, you know, don't buy a bunch of stuff early. You know, if some people did buy a bunch of stuff early, it might have not become like this either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, there is a controversy. Here's a good case study. So when Katrina happened, in that area, the gas prices went up and the fees for staying in hotels and stuff went up in Katrina, right? Because everyone's trying to buy gas. And they said, you can't do that. The government was like, we need to set a price ceiling. Yeah, you got to sell cheap gas, right?
Yeah.
So the gas runs out in like 2 seconds because all the people at the front of the line just buy all the gas. They didn't even need that much gas.
Yeah.
So the people that really needed the gas, and they would have paid $500 for a tank of gas, No option. No gas.
Really?
Yeah. Because they were forced to have a price ceiling.
Huh.
The government said, you have to sell it cheap. It's what they're doing right now for masks and toilet paper and everything else. Yeah. So they set an artificial price ceiling, right? And that means that the people that don't need it have the most access. Because the people are willing to pay money would have been able to buy gas and evacuate and live. People died because of this do-gooder, the government needs to control it. You know?
Yeah.
But if you let the free market work, what happens is it creates an incentive for individuals of society to prepare on behalf of their neighbors and everyone else.
Uh-huh.
And that actually creates a real supply increase in times of emergency. So if someone, let's say, for example, I'm contacted by some manufacturer of clothing, and they say, hey, we can make 10,000 masks and ship it to Japan. Do you need help? Do you need masks? And I say, yes. They transition their factory from making clothing to making masks, right?
Uh-huh.
And they ship them over here. And then I get absolutely obliterated on Twitter and everything else and arrested for 10 buy and the rest of it, right? But the real effect, if you reward people in the public for creating the backup stores of masks, of toilet paper and everything else, instead of trusting the government to do it all perfectly, which, by the way, doesn't happen.
Why would you ever do that, everybody?
Yeah, so it seems very... So we're suspicious of people, and people assume that other people have bad intentions. And so when you see someone put, masks on an auction site in a time of a disaster, and it's bid up, what's happening there is people have legal tender cash and they're paying exactly as much as they're willing to pay in a time of an emergency when the people that need it the most are the ones that are willing to pay the most. It's not literally unaffordable. Gas isn't going to go to like $5,000. It's like, I literally can't buy it. The price change in an emergency allows the people that need it the most to get it. And it creates an incentive for society to prepare on behalf of their neighbors and each other for future disasters. So right now, if you got a bunch of masks and put them in, some storage box somewhere out in Inaka, just in case there's another disaster, well, right now, you'd be worried that the government would block you if you tried to put that back onto the market later. Because of that fear, only a small number of people do it.
Uh-huh.
And that means that they get disproportionately huge profits from Tenbai. But if you have lots of people freely able to stockpile supplies for disasters and then bring those out into the market, that will keep the prices down and it won't require government control and just this authoritarian takeover that we've seen. And it would save huge numbers of lives. I think.
Well, so. I think it's really good when governments control everything, because look how perfect Wuhan worked when you had...
So smooth.
Dude, I just want... I don't care whatever political thing you want to say. I just want as least government as possible and freedom, and then I'm cool. That's stupid people terms, that's like... I don't trust the government to do anything right. Like, for instance, like the TSA...
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what happens when you let the government, like, if there was like 5 or 10 private companies doing that, they'd probably be so much better, but that's all you get. So that's,
they stole my cookies.
What type of cookies were they? That's
a Hawaiian cookies. Oh, Hawaiian cookies.
The best ones.
Yeah. Jacked by TSA and my laptop charger.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every time you fly to Hawaii, they take shit.
Are you from Hawaii, by the way?
No. But my brother lived there for a while, and I have friends there. But if you fly in and out of Hawaii, they just take your stuff. And then my friends know the TSA people that take my stuff.
Really?
So it's crazy.
Well, it's like if you put like a hamburger or hot dog place at like a theme park, and that's all there is, there's nothing, no other option, it's going to suck.
Yeah. It's gonna suck.
Yeah. They have nobody to
government hot dog.
Yeah, government hot dog. No, please no. I just get worried because everybody trusts everything that they hear here. I mean, like, Japan is like so obedient to the, like, no questions asked.
I call it the okami mentality, but it's like, it's not really. I mean, it's democracy, but it's not really.
Yeah.
and it's like you're supposed to just obey. And people are naturally obedient.
Well, so. And it's kind of crazy, though, because Japan does pull it off pretty well. Like, the government pulls, you know what I mean? Like, all my roads are, like, all the roads around my house are, like, beautiful. Like, they fix anything that's, you know what I mean? And it's not like that.
There's washlets at all the rest stops.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
Yeah. Washlets. You don't need toilet paper. You guys have washlets. Remember that.
Yeah, it's selling really well in the Western world, I saw.
Finally, on the news.
Yeah, people are now buying it on Amazon and stuff.
Should have got that Toto stock.
Yeah, I have a question. Yeah. Like, but you're, well, I guess, you're, are you an American citizen?
Yeah.
What do you think about guns?
Well, we've had...
I won't hate you for it.
We've had super long debates about guns, and people always get... It always gets crazy when we talk about guns, but I'm personally in my life, I love that I'm here. I don't need a gun. Yeah. I don't feel like I need a gun. I love all of that.
Yes.
I love all of that. But I'm very sympathetic, and I have some strong feelings about the importance of an armed public when it comes to the potential for authoritative governments. And I think we've seen, like, Hong Kong is a good example, but the United States could be that times a bazillion if it weren't for the people aiming back at all times, you know? So,
why weren't we friends years ago, man?
Sorry, dude. But yeah, that's basically how I feel.
Do you want to kiss now?
Yeah. Okay. Here, so I'll put this disinfectant on my
So you think that's pretty much how you feel?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I see that my son can just walk to school in like a couple years by himself and not have to worry about getting shot. Yeah. I've been robbed by like a 6-year-old woman before, and I come from Oakland. Yeah. And there's, you know, you might get shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from a nice part of Oakland, but if you walk in the, you know, some parts, that sucks. But then you see there's tons of...
It's not getting better.
No, really, no.
Oakland.
But you see tons of statistics of people that have saved people with guns and stuff like that. There's, like, entire books written on it and stuff like that. And I'm not, like, a gun maniac or anything like that. But I just feel like if the Japanese government wanted to just take over everybody's stuff, they could do it just... You know, any...
Well, so there's like a... If you think of balance of power in the world, right? So the most powerful country militarily, economically in the world is the United States. So that's where the cards are. And so that's why I think it's important to have an armed population there. Because the United States kind of oversees all these other countries, right?
That's such a good point.
Yeah, so that's why it's important. And I don't think it's important for that to be the case in other countries necessarily, as long as the United States is the most... powerful country.
So it kind of sets a standard, but it's like, I understand.
We don't have, so the most potentially authoritative country is the United States because it has the most power, negotiating power, everything else, military power, etc. If that power is not in the hands of real people, I think the world will suck so fast, your head will spin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So,
dude, good point. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, and it's just too late to get rid of him.
It would be impossible.
Yeah, it would be impossible. Yeah.
There, a lot of people in the United States will literally, you know, over their dead body.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Literally. Well,
dude, I've over read their dead studies, body. Like statistical studies, and I don't think I may be wrong, and you can look it up, but I could probably pull out the study that, you know, there was the buyback in Australia. There's more guns now than there was before the buyback. Like, people just sold them and then bought more guns after.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if...
Well, apparently gun sales are going way up with the virus thing, too.
Really?
Yeah. Tons of people buying guns, because if you don't have supplies...
They don't want to get robbed of toilet papers, right?
If things go really south, you know, there's looting, there's break-ins, and all this stuff. And then, you know, if you don't live, if the police can't... If the police take 10 minutes to show up, you might be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know... If you live right in the middle of Manhattan, you're probably fine. But there are a lot of places where they don't have that sense of security from the law enforcement because they take too long.
Yeah. Japan, sorry, I know it's getting over and I do have to go soon. But I was just going to say, like, there's things with Japan that like I would completely disagree with. Like, for instance, like how Japan's healthcare is, but it works so perfect and it's like, Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Have you ever got? I remember like you hurt your shoulder at one point or something. Or no?
Oh, I've had a bunch of crazy.
Did you have surgeries and stuff? Or
I haven't had surgeries.
So I tore my like completely tore my ACL to where there was nothing left in it.
God.
Like,
oh god!
Oh, dude, it's so bad. So it still hurts. Yeah, I'm still in rehab, and I got surgery, stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks. It was nothing. It was like a grand or like $2,000 or something like that.
Wow.
Completely thankful for the, like the Japanese healthcare system. I had good food, good doctor. And then on the other hand, the rehab was just nothing like it is in the States. Like now it's been over a year, and it should have been better in like, you know, seven months.
So you still have pain?
Yes. I still don't have muscle. Like it took, I'm meeting with an Australian rehab guy now and it's finally my muscles coming back.
Can you squat?
No, I still can't squat.
You can't.
I mean, I don't know. No, I can squat. I can't like squat with 220-pound weights.
Right, but you can like box squat.
Yeah. I can do that, but it's not rehab. That's it. Like what we call physical therapy, and like the West is not what they give you.
Yeah. Well, all Japanese sports athletes, it's just a decade behind or more.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
You see what they're doing?
Yeah,
with
like the fighter. Remember the MMA fighter? So I got to know this MMA fighter. He's like one of the top, like
he was considered the best in that division in the world.
Really? Yeah. Japanese guy.
But but like he didn't have a manager.
People gotta know exactly who it is.
Yeah, he didn't have a manager. He didn't have like a team. He wouldn't like train with other fighters because he just doesn't know that that's what all the other global fighters are doing. And when I met him, it was like right before the match, like a week before something, and he was eating pasta.
Really?
Yeah.
And I was really surprised. And but he didn't have a nutritionist or
that's
anything.
So crazy. Yeah.
And he was managing his own schedule. So I was like, this is so different from...
He had a manager, right? And
nope.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't have a manager. That's why I was dealing with him directly.
And is he back on track now? Or
dude, this guy's like a legend in the United States.
That's
He's
crazy.
The freaking legend of the sport in the United States. Like people would just trip over themselves to
that's
get a picture
crazy.
With this guy.
Like is he still doing it? Or
Is he? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe barely. Maybe not.
Well, like, I mean, I'll have permanent problems with my knee, and I'm not even blaming. You know, I should have probably... I remember my dad was like, you need to find an American physical therapist right away, and I didn't listen to him. But it will never recover fully.
Did you have a graft or a...
I had a patella, and my patella still starts really hurting.
Oh, no.
Oh, and I still can't sit in Seiza completely. I mean, it's getting better, but...
How'd you injure it?
I think I injured it when I was a little kid, but I think I must have done it tons of times, but I was doing jiu-jitsu a lot like a couple years ago, and you could just hear a huge pop, and then
What was it, like a leg lock or something?
It was a leg lock. I was trying to do a leg lock on somebody who's really fat.
Were you like in 50-50 or like
no, it wasn't a leg lock, sorry. I was like on my back, trying to wrap my legs around him.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so he was in your guard.
Yeah. And that's how it happened. But like,
that's a weird way for it to happen.
Well, my leg was so,
he was like, that big.
More, yeah. He was that big. It was so unstable that I could feel it bend from left to right for like a year or so.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And my doctor was like, the guy who did my surgery, he's like, have you been running on this? And I was like, yeah, like an hour and a half a day. And he's like, you need to get surgery like right away. This is terrible. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
I've had bad knee problems.
Really?
Quite a long time. I had an MRI. It was only 7,000 yen.
$1,000, $2,000 in America.
Oh, it's,
More?
Probably 2,000 or something.
Yeah, maybe 2,000.
But I paid $70.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but they found nothing.
Really?
And there's no way it's nothing. Sometimes my knee, like 2 weeks ago before I came to record, like I don't even know what's happening, but I think there's like an impingement of some.
Does it like lock or something? Or
I just can't put any weight on it. Zero.
Dude,
zero.
That sounds so much like an ACL.
It goes full. It just goes completely like I'll just wake up and just I can't put any weight, and that'll go on for like 4 or 5 hours, and gradually I can walk again.
You should
and
definitely
it comes
get this rechecked out.
it's rough because when it happens, I can't move.
Yeah,
but isn't it better now?
No,
no,
no.
Oh,
No, it's not any better. I've had this for years, but I'm I get an MRI and they're like, can't see anything. It pops every time I bend.
Else just in case.
If I bend my knee, it cracks and the patella jumps and like this. See,
that,
like
that's like type of stuff that was happening to me.
Maybe
so.
You should see Nick's doctor.
Yeah, my guy was great. He did the Olympics team and stuff like that. So yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of trying to do some crazy stem cell thing or something.
Like, yeah, yeah, the injections.
I know people that have had knee surgeries, and it's like, it just seems super, super rough.
It's been over a year, and I still am not, like, I think about my knee, you know, at least 20 times a day.
Yeah, I think about my knee all the time. Oh, if I get on the train, I'm like a freaking flamingo.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the movement? Oh, dude, this
the side-to-side movement?
Yeah, that's like, ACL, man. You got to get it checked. You know,
they MRI'd my knee. It's there. ACL's there.
Or I'd take the MRI. So that's weird. That's bizarre.
It's crazy, right? I took a bad kick right, under my right under my patella, and I just went down in agony. Usually, you know, you feel very little when you're sparring and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've broken my foot and not noticed. You know,
yeah,
but this, it just went right under the patella. It's like someone kicked my ACL or something.
Yeah.
I just went down like a rock and just like, so I don't know if that's related, but
yeah, I really want to start doing jiu-jitsu again, but I know I won't be able to. So I'm just doing boxing. I was kickboxing too, so I'll start restart doing that at some point, but I don't see how I can now
with your leg. Yeah. If I warm up, I'm totally fine. I can spar. I can throw high kicks. I can do everything. But as soon as that meniscus gets in there or whatever the heck it is, I shut down. Super.
You guys
random.
Are crazy.
Yeah. You don't have any injuries like this?
Yeah.
No. Nothing? I've never broken a bone.
Your knees are perfect?
Yeah.
Your hips are perfect? Your shoulders are perfect?
Yeah, because I'm not crazy.
You don't have like weird neck things? I got some weird neck stuff. Oh my God. My neck just like, it'll crack just looking over sometimes. Just
feels good though.
It does, but... I'm glad when it happens, but I don't like that it happens.
I understand that. Anyway.
Men are weird.
Yeah, it's just too boro-boro ass. Yeah.
Well, you got to go soon.
Yeah, I got to go soon. Oh.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, finally. I mean, this is great. Yeah. It was really fun. Yeah.
I'm glad the virus didn't wipe it out. Escaped.
I escaped Milan.
Lombardy.
I was in Lombardy the other day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, have me on again sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, it was really fun.
We still got more to talk about.
That was so much fun.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, man.
Matare.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Is that okay?